ജയ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദകി ജയം തിരിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദകി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദകി രാമാചാര്യ ശേഖരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സ്വഭോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശിവസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോ ഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമ രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻധാമകി മായപോധാമകി മധുരപരിധാമകി ജഗന്നാഥപരിധാമകി ദ്വാരകാപരിധാമകി ഗന്ധമായകി യമനമായകി തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ലീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരമവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി ശ്രീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാന്വയ നവേഹേ നൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ചായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തന്നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്മയാനിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ വൃഷാം താമ്നാസേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി ഹൃദയ കിംബാഭരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യ നേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാദമുദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി ുഭാവമഹില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം ഈർഷദാംഗമോന്തം സാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരം മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ മരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊടിതാമൃതാനോ മമ വാചി വിചുംബദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കനികാവികാവികാവി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ
കുംഭരം ധനവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദരീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാവസഹായമിതി സുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയം വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യമരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരഗോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയേ ഗിരി യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So yesterday we have started discussing this Sankhya Yoga. Krishna says to Uddhava that the few things that gets discussed here, where did this creation come from? This is a question for everybody. People ask always this question. Where did this creation come from? And how is it maintained? How does it stay like this? How long? And at the end, what will happen? These are questions normal in all religions, isn't it? Everybody asks. So they all have their own answers also for these questions. Where did this come from? How is it maintained? And where is it going to end at the end? What's going to happen at the end? And what will happen to all of us when we leave here? These are the questions. In religion, these are the questions discussed. So different religions' processes have different ways of putting these things together. But when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, there are certain things which we have to first understand before we go further into it. That is why yesterday we were talking about when Krishna said about this, that what we are experiencing now, at this moment in time, is not simply matter. That's the first thing we have to come out from that. The science has pulled this into our head. Everything is matter. There's nothing outside matter. Just they think that this world was created like a bricklayer comes with this mortar and the bricks and put it together. Similarly, somebody has come and made it and gone away from here. That is how the science is perceiving that. You can see that in their way of explaining things. But Krishna is saying to us, behind this whole manifestation, what we call as Brahmandam in the Shastram, and here they call it as cosmic manifestation, isn't it? I think that's the equivalent English word for that, for Brahmandam. So Brahmandam, the creation itself, Krishna is trying to tell us what is it, first of all, that has been created, as you say. It's not just bricks and mortar, what you see, that's been created. That includes, Krishna said, the first thing is, in this package is Maya. Maya has a huge influence in this whole thing. Then there is Mahatattvam. Then there is Sutralma, then there is Ahankaram, then there is Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, the three modes of nature and their variations. Then there is the senses, And then there is the tanmatra, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. And finally, the five material elements. Krishna is saying this is all together is the creation, not only five material elements. The way science is looking at it is that, oh, it's been like a building, they have built it, but in a much different way it's been created. There's nothing else here. Lot of water and lot of buildings, lot of rivers, lot of mountains, lot of stones, lot of this, lot of space. That's it. Their world is finished like that. And there's a lot of space and there's a lot of planets running around. And they, when they go to any other planet, when they analyze it, this is how they look at that planet. They go to Saturn. If you look at the report about Saturn, Neptune, Pluto, and also about Mars, they will only explain it like this. Oh, in the Mars, there is more sand or more copper or more elements. Always in terms of elements only. Nothing else. They have no understanding that in the creation there is so many other things which is operating here that they haven't got an understanding. So Krishna is saying to us, before going into the element side of it, behind that, there is Maya. Maya is the powerful force operating, that's why it's called Prakriti. And yesterday we have seen that that Krishna, by definition, Krishna's definition is Nirgunam, beyond the three modes of nature, isn't it? Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam does not touch Krishna. That is why he is beyond the three modes of nature. So, when he is beyond the three modes of nature, in the creation, when Krishna is operating, it is what we call as Gunabhavam. Gunabhavam means, Krishna has to adjust with the Gunabhavam here, in the creation. Because there is Gunam here working, three Gunam. Krishna is transcendental to the three Gunam. Krishna is not affected. When we say Krishna, you should understand in the broad sense, not purely the form in the temple. That when we refer to Krishna, Krishna refers to that Chaitanyam or the living force, what Krishna calls as Sat himself in the Bhagavad Gita. That Sat potency has got a nature that when it comes in this Prakriti, in Maya, he has to operate in the Maya with certain limitations. And with that limitations, when he is operating, he is called Ishvara. It's called Ishvara. So Ishvara is that form with the Gunabhava. Gunabhava means the three modes of nature. And so when Gunabhavam is present, Gunabhavam means three modes of nature. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Krishna is present here, and therefore this whole creation becomes Krishna's Upadhi. Like we have our Upadhi. We also, like Krishna's way, that same consciousness inside. But what happens when Upadhi comes, our nature changes, isn't it? We can see that. As long as you have a gross body, a mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, we are not the same original what we were. Originally we were pure consciousness, unaffected by anything, not affected by karmam, not affected by ahankaram, not affected by three modes of nature. But as soon as you have accepted a body, As soon as you have accepted a mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, then our nature has changed. We are not anymore the same pure consciousness what we used to be. Similarly, in Krishna's case also, Krishna is always transcendental to everything. It is according to his desire things happening. But when Krishna comes to under this Prakriti, within the Prakriti when Krishna is operating, when he is addressed as Ishvara, he has got this what is called a Gunabhava. Gunabhavam will be there. That is why he is referred to as Saguna Brahmam, with attributes, while within the creation. Saguna Brahmam. Outside this creation, which is pure nature of Krishna, that is Nirguna Brahmam, beyond the three modes of nature. That is why Brahmam comes in two different stages. One is the Nirguna Brahmam, other one is the Saguna Brahmam. Now, to worship Nirguna Brahmam is difficult, Krishna says. That's not possible. And only out of his mercy, he has come and he is giving us this Sagunam, Sagunam nature. That is why we have all these incarnations, deities, temples, worship, everything. It's all under Saguna Brahma. Nirguna Brahma we can't worship because our mind won't go to that level. We can't understand it, what that Nirguna Brahma means. That is why you will see this in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking, saying that, Klesho Adhigata Rastesham, Avyakta Asakta Chetasam, avyaktahi gadar dukkam dehavalbira vapyade. That verse, if you look in the 12th chapter, 12:12, I think it is. Something like that. So, that verse will tell you how difficult it is to worship the Nirguna Brahma. Nirguna Brahma means without attributes, without being involved in the gunam. He is not involved in the gunam. No gunam is present there. And the same question you will see in the 87th chapter in the 10th canto, when Shuddhigita was discussed. It begins with that question. Is it not? There, Parishad Maharaj was asking Sudeva Goswami, how do I understand this Nirguna Brahma? He asked that question in the first verse itself, is it not? So, first thing that for Krishna is explaining to us, before we answer these questions, which one? Questions where the world has come from, how is it maintained, how is it going to be destroyed, and what will happen to all the living entities here? These are all the questions before us. How do we answer that question? That is what we were trying to explain yesterday to some extent. The problem why we are so much against the science is, science is in a very funny state, they are. They are asking the question, where did this come from? And they are making experiments with their different ways, isn't it? Sometimes, now this experiment, what they were doing in the Switzerland and Austria with their collider, where they are, it was there in the last year, and they're still expecting some answer from that. So, this approach, they're only interested where it has all come from. But they're not saying what's going to happen to this at the end. They don't know how to do research with that. This is the way they are stuck. We also want to know the answer, isn't it? Where this is all going to go at the end. How will you do research on that? That's a more interesting question. They are trying to find out where this has all come from by experiment. Similarly, Krishna is saying to us that you should also know where this is all going to end, finally. This whole thing called creation. Or is it permanent here, like this? That question. So therefore, in the Bhagavatam, when they discuss these topics, whether here in the Sankhyam or later on in the 12th canto, when Krishna will say, Sudha Goswami will mention this, is that creation is, first of all, we have to understand it properly, what creation means. And when you understand it in a much deeper level, you will know that this so-called theory about creation, what the creationists have created, has no meaning. It's a complete waste of time. And you can also see there that when, just like creation, it's not one creation. Creation is in four different levels. Creation is explained in the Bhagavatam. Nityam, Naimittikam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. In four levels, creation is going on in this, what we are seeing now. In four levels, it's happening. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, it will also say that when destruction happens, it happens in four levels again. So that if you understand that, it requires a little bit of thoughts behind it, then you will notice that a lot of things make sense. All that what we hear, after all, Srimad Bhagavata Akhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. You must never forget that. Bhagavatam is Krishna. Krishna is telling us, and that is in the Bhagavatam. And if you cannot understand, if you don't understand it, it's not Bhagavatam's fault. It's our conditioning, with our ignorance inside, ajnanam inside, that we are unable to come to terms with it. That's our problem, not the problem of the Bhagavatam. And unfortunately, many people are trying to compare Srimad Bhagavatam with the modern science and trying to see whether they are matching each other. This is going on. A lot of devotees trying to do this. What a nonsense it is. Imagine that. Where is Bhagavatam and where is science? How do you compare these two? Here itself you can see the problem. When Krishna is talking about Maya, Mahatattvam, Sutralpava, Ahankaram, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, their variations, senses, Tanmatras, Panchabhutam, all these things together, Krishna says this manifestation is. Science is saying there is only matter. Nothing. When they say matter, it refers to Panchabhutam, five material elements. That's all. Nothing else here. So this is how we are, where we stand and where they stand, isn't it? So here, this question Krishna, you know, Krishna has answered this. How Krishna answered? He answered in four words. If you look into the 22nd chapter, we looked at that verse at that time. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpigam brahmam. That was the answer. Krishna's answer to this question. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpigam brahmam. 22nd chapter, 56th verse. 11:22-56. He told this to Uddhava. Uddhava, this is the situation. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpigam brahmam. Alma agrahanam. Krishna says, when you have not realized the soul, when you have not realized the soul, alma agrahanam means that. When you have not realized the soul, pashya vaigalpigam brahmam, everything what you experience is mistaken identity. See that word? Did you see that in the Bhagavatam? Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpigam brahmam. That is Krishna's answer to that. 11:22. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpigam brahmam. Krishna is saying, when you have not realized Alma, when you have not in your realization soul, then what you are seeing is vaigalpigam brahmam. There is a brahmam in everything what you are seeing. Everything is mistaken identity. Brahmam means that. Mistaken identity. Everything is mistaken what we are perceiving. But we are such people, whatever we see through the eyes is the only truth. Whatever we hear through the ears is the only truth. Nothing else is truth as far as we are concerned. And we are the people who are trying to understand Bhagavatam. Imagine our problem. Where we stand and where Bhagavatam is. Bhagavatam is coming from the platform of Alma, from the soul. Soul is the whole basis, which is Krishna. And Krishna is saying, Alma agrahanam. Agrahanam means, you have not experienced Alma. You have not understood Alma. Grahanam means to know. So, Alma agrahanam urbhadam. Pashyam vaigalpigam brahmam. Without the present experience of the Alma, anything what you see in this creation is a brahmam, Krishna said. Brahmam means mistaken identity. Just like for example, suppose there is a rope lying there and you have in the darkness you come and touched it and you felt that it is a snake. That is called a brahmam. Something lying there, you don't know what it is. Instead you have thought it is something else. And that's exactly with the world, what Krishna is saying to us. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpigam brahmam. Vaigalpigam brahmam. So, Krishna said this to Uddhava before, in the 22nd chapter, isn't it? That means, this brahmi, brahmam is brahmi, or the perception of this creation itself is, purely due to the non-experience of the Alma, soul inside. The soul's lack of experience of the soul. Once you have the knowledge of the soul, or Alpajnanam, or Brahmavidya, or realization of the soul, you won't see this world. That is the point Krishna is saying. You won't see this world, but you can't say this to scientists if you tell them. Then they will say, they can't, because they are so gross in all these things. They don't have an idea what they are talking. Basically, science is coming from Rajogunam. Shastram comes from Sattugunam, or beyond Sattugunam, Shuddha Sattvam. It is. So there itself changed everything. The knowledge that comes from Rajogunam cannot present. Krishna has already said that before. Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam. Only in Sattugunam, Jnanam will have any sense. In Rajogunam, that comes from Rajogunam, will not make any sense at all. So, Krishna says that, example, Krishna uses the same Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. He says there, in the dream state, you are experiencing it. And as soon as you know about yourself, who you are, that dream goes away. Is it not? That's called waking up. In the dream state, as soon as you wake up, the dream is not real. But when you are not woken up, the dream is real. For you, it is real at that time. Isn't it? For all of us. So, similarly, Krishna is saying, if you are woken up from the awakened state, then you won't see this world anymore. The world that you are seeing in the awakened state. Just like in the dream state, when you are woken up from the dream state, the world what you had, you were living in the dream state, that does not exist anymore. Because you have woken up from the dream state. Similarly, in the deep, in this vacant state also, if you wake up from the vacant state, we call it vacant state, but we have not woken up. It is still very much in ajnanam, avidya it is. When you wake up from the vacant state, then you won't see this world what you see now in the vacant state. So, and this point, it's very difficult for most of the people to come to terms with, isn't it? Because they say, dream state, when you wake up, it goes away. But this world, every day we are seeing the same thing. That's their logic. Do you understand what they're saying? Normally, people's objection to that, when you say this point to them, they will say, the dream, once I have dreamt last night, when I woke up in the morning, it's gone. And tonight, if I'm going to dream, I won't dream the same thing. It'll be something different. Is it not? Some different things. But in the way, in this dream, the daydream, in the vacant state, that when I sleep tonight and wake up in the morning, it's the same world. So they get confused there. They're finding it difficult to accept that. So therefore they are saying this is real. And that one in the dream was not real. This is their argument about that. So, the reason why you were able to accept that the world in the dream was unreal, because you came to know who you are. That is what caused that thing. That you were able to come out of that dream. Similarly, in this vacant state also, if you come to know who you are, then this world will go. You see that logic? That is what Krishna is saying to us. And therefore, and here, what is happening is there, that when a new state is coming, when one from one state to another, when you come in the Bhagavatam, we take four different positions. For example, Vishwam, Taijasan, Prajnan. That means Atma in the vacant state is called Vishwam. Why is called Vishwam? Because he is in relationship with the world. He is existing. Your existence is in relationship with the world. That's why it's called Vishwam. Vishwam. Then Taijasam. Taijasam means when you are in the dream state. Atma is not behaving like the way he is behaving in the vacant state. Is it not? Atma is not like in the vacant state. At that time what's happening? All your gross body you have thrown away. And you are only in your dream state. Where you have completely created another world and lot of things are happening there. And you are living there. So therefore, you are not the same person who, although in reality you are same, but your function has changed from Vishwam to Taijasam. And then again, when you go to Prajnam in the deep sleep state, what's happening there? That you have shed both your mind and the body and you live in another state somewhere, whatever it may be, and comfortably situated, and then you come back in the morning again back to the vacant state. So the world leaves you when you move from one state to another, isn't it? You are left this world when you went to the dream state. And then in the dream state you have created another world. So every time you can see, when Alpa is moving its position, the soul is moving its position from one state to another, the world also is changing along with that. Is it not? World means experience. Don't go by what you see here all the time. What happens in the deep sleep? Where is the world? Will you say to anybody in the deep sleep, no, no, I live in that place. You don't say anything like that in the deep sleep state. So there the world is different. Similarly, in the dream state, the world is different. In the waking state, the world is different. The world is different based on Atma's identity in the world. Atma is the one who creating the world. Not the world is created and left there. We come and see, oh, what's going on here, what's going on there. This is a misunderstanding. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Identification, what is in the vacant state, is not there in the dream state. Similarly, that identification in the dream state is not there in the deep sleep state. And similarly, Jagrat state or vacant state is also something like the Sopnam or dream state. And to understand this, we require little subtle thoughts behind it. Only in a subtle level, if you analyze it within yourself, you will be able to accept it without any difficulty. But it is necessary to get this point across to anybody. That is what Krishna said, that Atma agrahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpikam brahmam. He said that. So, and to understand this, we require that subtle intelligence. And in order to have that, vairagyam is required. Only when you have a high degree of renunciation and detachment, then these things will be easier to get in. Otherwise it won't get in. Because otherwise what will happen is, you will simply use mind and intelligence to analyze it. You remember, in the earlier also, we have talked about this in the Bhagavatam, Puranjana story, and also in the 11th canto. Everything spoken in the Shastram is indirect, isn't it? Indirectly spoken. It is called Paroksham, not direct. And people ask this question, why don't you say directly? Why don't you say, we like it like that. Why you want to say like this, instead of saying like this? Instead of holding the nose like this, you put the hand like this and hold it like this. So unfortunately, Bhagavatam is spoken like that. And Upanishads also is like that. Puranam, all you will see this nature of saying things in a roundabout way. It's called Paroksham. Reason for that is, if you something is spoken Paroksham, it will come to you in your experiences Aparoksham. Aparoksham means in the experience, not in the mind and intelligence. In your experience level. Experience level means you will get it properly. Suppose something is spoken directly to you, it will go to mind and intelligence. And mind and intelligence will start interpreting its own way based on its modes. That should not happen. That is the reason why it is spoken in this way. Paroksham. If it is spoken Paroksham, it will come to you if one day when it comes. That's what I'm saying. Not that it will come to you straight away like the mind and intelligence. If it is spoken in the Paroksham level, when it comes to you, it will come to you in the Aparoksha way. Aparoksha means proper experience inside. Not anymore through mind and mind and intelligence. Experience is not accepted as experience. That is only perception. Remember that? We talked about this before many times. Whatever you are getting through the mind and senses, they are all perception only. It is not in experience level. Experience level, there is only awareness today. What we have is awareness. So, what is given in Paroksham, it will come to you in Avaroksham. What is given direct to you, it will go by the mind and intelligence will take it. If I say something to you directly, that is why in Bhagavatam so many things is Paroksham. Is Paroksham. And that is where we get, and our gross nature is such that we can't even think, he says, oh, reading Bhagavatam says, oh, all these things, it doesn't make any sense, he said. So many people have so much difficulty with Bhagavatam because of this. We were listening about, especially that fifth canto. As soon as you open the fifth canto, it says there, there is a salt ocean. Then there is inside there is a sugarcane juice ocean. Inside this there is an alcohol ocean. Inside this there is a ghee ocean. It's there in the fifth canto, is it not? In the creation. Inside that ghee ocean there is milk ocean. And then there is yogurt ocean. And finally there is pure water ocean. We only know the salt water ocean. So people read this in the Bhagavatam and they start thinking, it's a little bit hard to take it on board. It's all right, it's Prabhupada has given the commentary and all that, all acharyas have spoken about it, but how do we understand this? They ask this question. And that question is still in people's mind who are in Krishna consciousness movement for the last 50 years. They're also having the same question. It's not that they're gone out of it. They all are having the same problem. Similarly, if you read Bhagavatam 5th canto, Sudeva Goswami is saying so many things. And we are saying, no, this is in the Bhagavatam, so we are building Vedic planetarium and so many other things to prove that we are right. Because we have to tell the science like that, isn't it? The scientist. If you give this to a scientist and tell him, what will he say to us? If you tell him all these different oceans existing, his question will be, I don't have to say what he will say, do I? He will say, far out, he will say. One person said, he said when the milk ocean was churned, and from there, what came out from the milk ocean? First, a fantastic horse came out, Ucheshravasa. And then, another elephant came, Airavadam came. And then a beautiful lady came out from that, Mahalakshmi. So he says, when he read Bhagavatam first time, he thought it's very much like a Disneyland, he said. That's how he perceived that. He said, how do I understand this whole thing? Then he said, that the person who has written the commentary on these verses in English, referring to Prabhupada, he seems to have total faith in everything what he has written. He's saying that. He says he seems to have total faith in what he is saying and what he is writing. But I can't just relate with it, he said. I'm stuck. He said, I don't know what to say. So this is the situation. Similarly, we have a lot of things. This is why, while studying Bhagavatam, Tattvam is important. Behind everything, there is a Tattvam. If you simply remain with Katha, story, this problem will not go away. Unless we come to the Tattvam side of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Tattvam is a big topic. It's a big topic. And even when Sridhara Swami wrote the commentary, he mentioned many things there, according to Sridhara Swami's, but many other acharyas have tried to understand. That is why we say Bhagavatam is never completely understood. What Sukadeva Goswami meant to speak, you will understand about creation also same thing. Look at this way, let me explain this. When we talk about creation, every other religion in this world, whether in Christianity or in Islam, everywhere, in their books if you look, they will try to explain creation, isn't it? If you take Srimad Bhagavatam, first Bhagavatam is in the condensed form, four verses, Chatushlogi, isn't it? Where Krishna is saying four verses, whole Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. Ahamevasam evagre nanyadyal sadasal param paschadaham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmeham. The second canto, I think it is the ninth chapter. 32, 33 and all. Hridayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda chatmani tad vidyamatmano mayam yadha bhaso yadha tama. That's the second verse. Then yadha mahanti bhutani bhude uchavajeshwanu pravishtani apravishtani tathateshu na teshwaham Edavad eva jitnyasyam tatva jitnyasuna alpmana anvaya vyatirekabhyan yatsyal sarvatra sarvada. These are the four verses in the Chalshlogi. If you go home and you have time, read through the translation. Nothing is spoken about creation. What does that indicate? In every other religious group text in this world, creation is discussed. In Bible it says 7 days God has created. In, I don't know Quran how it explains, but whatever it may be, they all try to explain creation one way or the other. When it comes to Bhagavatam, which is the summary of all the Vedic literature, and that the seed of that Bhagavatam is these four verses, first spoken by Krishna to Brahma. And when he spoke to Brahma in these four verses, there is no reference to creation at all. Creation is not spoken. When does creation comes then in Bhagavatam? When it comes from Brahma to Narada. Krishna to Brahma, no creation was spoken. From Brahma to Narada, creation was spoken in a limited way. From Narada to Vyasa, creation has got a little bit bigger. Vyasa to Shuga Brahmarshi still further expanded, and Shuga Brahmarshi spoke creation more to Parikshit. What is the reason behind that? When you are in the state of Krishna, when he spoke to Brahma, at that time there is no reference to creation. And exactly that's what Krishna is saying here to us also. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam manam. That when you are fully aware of Atma, that creation doesn't exist. When you fully know what is Atma. When you don't know Atma, absolutely no knowledge of the soul, then only creation exists. This is how it is. In complete ignorance, creation exists. When there is no ignorance, when you are totally conscious of the spirit, Atma inside, Brahmam, Aham Brahmas, what are that state? Then creation doesn't exist. That is the point Krishna is making here. And that is why in the Chatushlogi there is no creation spoken about. All what Krishna says there, if you look, you will see there. We discussed Chatushlogi earlier before, you remember? A few years ago. So, Aham Evasam Evagri, Nanyadir Sadas, but Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, and there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation which remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Here, the process of creation is never spoken. He is saying, I am always existing. Creation comes and goes. Therefore creation is not important. And when you are completely realized to Krishna, the creation doesn't exist at all. When you completely realize Krishna properly. Similarly, other verses also, Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, Atma, has no reality. Krishna is saying, isn't it? Hridayartham, hridayartham, yat pratiyeda, na pratiyeda chalpmani, the second verse. Tad vidyat alpano mayam, yathabhaso yathatama. That means, appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, he has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Then the third verse, he says, Edan, sorry. Edam handi bhudani, bhudeshu chavajeshwanu, pravishtandi apravishtani, tatha teshu na teshoham. Please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. And finally, edavad eva jitnyasyam tattva jitnyasunalpmana anvaya vedirekabhyam yatsyal sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of God, it most certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So, the four verses of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam gives you an indication how much importance Krishna has given for creation. Creation is not an important thing as far as they are concerned. But then, why creation has been spoken? Creation has been spoken when you come to spiritual life, this will be the first question. Where did all this come from? So to satisfy us, some answer is required, and that is spoken in a way that which will not go against the principles of creation. But because when you are experiencing something, it is very difficult to say it doesn't exist. Suppose I am experiencing something, then if you tell me that it doesn't exist, it's difficult to accept it, isn't it? So right now, we are experiencing the world. And if somebody tells us that the world doesn't exist, we'll say, well, that's a little bit difficult. So it's all experience only. Now, the moment you experience Atma, Krishna is saying, the world won't exist. You won't experience the world anymore. It's only due to experience that you are saying the world is existing. So once that experience of Atma comes, Krishna says, the experience of the world will go. Pasya Vaigalpikam Brahmam. Vaigalpikam Brahmam. So therefore, in Bhikshu Gita, the process was through Vairagyam to realize this. Vairagyam helped him. Who? Bhikshu. Bhikshu realized it through Vairagyam at the end. Only Atma is present here. Mind is the problem, he said. Remember? He mentioned that about the mind, isn't it? The first verse in the Bhikshu Gita would say, Nayam janome sugadukha hedu na devadalma griha karma kalam manaparam karana mamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. The first verse, the essence of the whole Bhikshu Gita. So he said there that this whole thing is Nayam, they are not responsible for my problems. Nayam janome sugadukha hedu. The demigods are not responsible. Karmam is not responsible. Kalam is not responsible. The planets are not responsible. Nobody is responsible. It's my own mind. Manaparam karana mamanandi. Because of that, I'm rotating in this samsara chakram, in this material existence. So there, Vairagyam helped him to reach that state. Now, those who do not have that Vairagyam, they have this process, what we discussed yesterday. Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham, which comes as a curtain in front of us, by the Bhudalayam process. Bhudalayam means dissolving one element in the other. But that has to happen through our thought power. Through our thought power. And that layam process, one element dissolving in the other, and dissolving in that way, completely removing the elements from within and freeing yourself from that, and you can understand in that way what this creation means. And that is what Krishna is discussing in these verses now, what we are looking at in the Sankhya. So Krishna mentioned there that what we discussed briefly yesterday, that Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti, two things. And Kriya Shakti is what we call it as Sutralma. And Jnana Shakti is Mahatattva. Remember, yesterday we spoke about that. How Sutralma and Mahatattva were born. And Sutralma and Mahatattva is always together. Jnanam and Karma. Jnanam and Karma. Kriya means Karma. Jnanam and Karma is always together. Sutralma and Mahatattva is always together. And in Bhagavad Gita also, the discussion is Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Jnanam and Karma. So Jnanam and Karmam is the two powerful forces. Sutralpa and Mahatattvam. They are present there. And we also discussed one important thing yesterday. Veshti and Samashti. Remember that? Samashti, I think English word for that, I thought about that yesterday. You know what they say? Microcosm and macrocosm. Those two words. That's what that is. The scientists have got that word also. They have started accepting these things now, a little bit here and there. So they understand that there is something in the Veshti that is in the Samashti. Veshti Samashti is there in the Shastram for so long that the rishis have understood this way back, long, long ago. And these are two new words in the science, not that old, probably 58, 75 years old, not more than that. Microcosm and macrocosm, that's what the word I think they use. And that is what it is. Microcosm is Veshti and macro level is the Samashti. So, Veshti Samashti level, we talked yesterday that everything that is in the Veshti, that is in the Samashti. Everything that is in the Samashti, that is in the Veshti. That is how we are created. That is how we are created. So, this Mahatattvam, we spoke about that. That is the Samashti level. It is in the Samashti level, Buddhi. Intelligence in the Samashti level. Knowledge in the Samashti level. Buddhi and knowledge are connected together. So, in the Samashti level, it is Mahatattvam. In the Veshti level, we call it as Buddhi. In the Veshti level. And, when in that Jnanam, or in the Veshti, Samashti level, when that came, from there, when it had a movement there, in that, Ahankaram was born. That's how from Mahatattvam, Ahankaram was born. Mahatattvam is that thing which is present in the, that intelligence present in the whole creation. Intelligence that's present in the whole creation. That's Mahatattvam. So that Mahatattvam, which is Krishna addresses here as Jnana Shakti. And that Mahatattvam, that's always with the Sutralma. It's always with the Sutralma, Kriya Shakti also. So, that Mahatattvam is Samashti Buddhi. It is called Samashti Buddhi. And in there was a movement, and then Ahankaram was born. Ahankaram was born. That Ahankaram pulls the living entity into illusion. It's Ahankaram that puts us into it. Now, there is Ahankaram also in the Samashti, and Ahankaram in the Veshti also, in the Veshti level. So, when that Ahankaram in the Samashti level, Ahankaram happens, that turns into three, Satyagam, Rajasam, Tamasam. And from that came the three different things. Satya Ahankaram came the mind, Rajasa Ahankaram came the senses, and the Tamasa Ahankaram came the elements, or the body, gross body, that came. In the individual level, Veshti, our Ahankaram inside, also is operating, is it not? So that Ahankaram what is present inside, you can see that that wakes up in the morning, when we wake up. And it is present in the Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti stages, but in Sushupti it disappears. It's there, otherwise how can it come back in the morning again? It's there somewhere going in hiding, in the deep sleep state, is it not? So, just like what's happening in the Samashti, it's happening in the Veshti as well. That in three states, it's acting there. It acts in one way in the vacant state, another way in the dream state, another way in the deep sleep state. So, always you will see here that Satya Ahankaram has caused the mind, and also the predominating devadas, Adishtadru Devada, for the they also which are responsible for our 10 senses and the mind, they were also born from the Satya Ahankaram. Ultimately, when all these things, which one? Satya Ahankaram, Rajasa Ahankaram, Tamasa Ahankaram, the senses, the elements, they all joined together when they were born and it became an egg. That is what Krishna refers to as the Brahmandam. Viral Swarupam mentioned in the second canto. And it is from there, Krishna mentions there, from the abdomen the sprouted the lotus stem and the lotus flower came and Lord Brahma was there in the lotus flower. So then Brahma performed penances while sitting tapasa. He performed in the penances. And then by Krishna's grace, Brahma created these three planetary systems, which one we refers to as Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam. Remember in the Gayatri also, Om Bhu Bhuva Bhu Swa. Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam were created. So there, these were created, and these three planetary systems, Bhulogam, Bhurlogam and Surlogam, it is in the three planetary systems karmam exists. Karmam is only in these three planetary systems. Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam. Out of these three, Bhulogam was given to us for the human species to live. Bhurlogam was given to little bit subtle living entities. For example, the Bhutam, different Bhutam. That is why it's called Bhurlogam. And Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, and that is what you say, atmosphere, Andariksham it is called. And there, those living entities who haven't got a gross body, they are allowed to stay in that. That is why when we say that after the death of a person, in normal situation, he goes there, Prethalogam, they are all part of that. And for 10 days, 15 days time, before a decision is made about his further journey from there. you will know this, what it's called, samsara gadi of the jiva, when it leaves the body. So, Bhurlogam. Then there is Swarlogam. Swarlogam is the heavenly planets. Swarlogam is the heavenly planets. So, here, when Sattugunam, you will see here, yeah, this, when Rajogunam is present in us, we engage in creation ourselves, is it not? It's due to Rajogunam, creation happens. When Sattugunam develops in a person, he will be more concerned about knowledge. That, you know how it happens. When Sattugunam is predominant in a person, the nature of that person will be, he'll be thinking deeper and he'll be looking for deeper understanding of things in a deeper level. That desire will come from inside in Sattugunam. In Rajogunam, if Rajogunam is in control, we will go and do things. Various things will come. We'll start working on different... Every time you ask people, you say, I'm working on that, they'll say... They'll be working for it for the whole life. That working will be going on, Rajogunam. That's Rajogunam. And similarly, when Tamogunam comes, you will see no interest in anything. Just want to exist in the world. Somehow pass my time and pay the bills and carry on with life. And happy with a little bit of social life, social circle, family life. And satisfied with, you know, the basic things in life. That's Tamogunam. Tamogunam's tendency, that is. Rajogunam tendency is wants to do a lot of things, manage big projects, and get things done, and control others, and give trouble to everybody in this world, exploit everyone, and cause havoc here before leaving this world. That is Rajogunam. Sattugunam means, while being here, in a shanti state, thinking, what is all this going on here? What does it all mean? This way mind will go. That means you'll have more desire to read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and to see what the rishis had to say. Won't blindly accept everything what the scientists have said, and saying that, oh, this is it, I got it now. The scientists have told us. That's not the approach. They'll think that this human species has been here for a very, very long time. And just must have some meaning behind it. So the desire to little bit more go deeper into it, inquire from the proper persons, and able to discriminate the right and the wrong, all this capacity comes in the Sattugunam. So, but these three worlds, which one? Swarlogam, Bhurlogam, Bhulogam, these things we will have to move into these three worlds up and down. You cannot come out of it. And based on the three modes of material nature and your karma, your movement will go on within the three worlds. Just like, but if you leave these three worlds, That means bhulokam, bhurlokam, surlokam. Once you have come out of it, then you have escaped. Then you have come out of the problem. Then what is left there is maharlokam, janalokam, tapolokam, satyalokam. Satyalokam is Brahma's lokam. While you are in these three worlds, bhulokam, bhurlokam, surlokam, you can't escape easily from here, because there is karmam here. If I do good karmam and pious activities, live a proper life, I'll get elevated probably to the surlokam. But I won't come out of that surlokam. I'll get a good life there for a certain period of time based on how much pious activities you have done here. But after that, you will have to come back here again. You'll get a higher birth also in this world. If I have been very nasty or very sinful in this world, I may have to accept a lower species body in this world. Lower species of body in this world, animals, birds, plants, trees and all that kind of things. Those living entities who have come through spiritual life and progressed very much, and they have come out of this karma chakram. Remember this karma chakram? What we discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth or fifth chapter. Evam pravartidam chakram, Krishna says. Nanu varte yadi haya. There is a verse you will see in that chakram. Karma chakram it is called. That means you are not free. You are in that cycle of karma. You do things, you will get the results. There is still more karma. Prarabdham is there. You have to accept another body, come here, whatever body that is. And continuously get recycled in that way here. And if that karma is very good, you will go up to the swarlokam. When that is finished, come back again here, start again. So going up and down, between these three worlds, bhulokam, bhurlokam, swarlokam, you continuously rotate. Once you have come out of this karma chakram, then you are free. Free in the sense, then you are on your way back to the spiritual world. You don't come back again here. So escaping from these three planets, planetary existence, bhulokam, bhurlokam, swarlokam, that is what is called jiva's samsara gadi, samsara chakram or samsara gadi. And Brahma created this in this way. And so based on the what Krishna is saying there, that satyalokam is the highest in the above these three planets. We have maharlokam, janalokam, tapolokam, satyalokam. Who lives in those places? Rishis, great sages, they all live there. Tapoloka means people who are performing tapas, austerities and severe austerities. Like great rishis, sages, they all have their life there. Shukha Brahmarshi and all lives in the Tapoloka. And those who have come out from here, from this cycle of these three karmic cycle, the first lokam they go to is Maharlokam. Mahatmas, they live there. They come out of the cycle, but still they have to perform a lot of further penances and austerities to go up further from there. So they go to Maharlokam. And in between Maharlokam and Tapolokam, there is Janalokam. Janalokam. Janalokam is a place, there are advanced sages who live there, and there a lot of discussions happens about the truth. If you remember, Shruti Gita was discussed there. Remember that? Shruti Gita in the beginning, Sanat Kumara Maharshi discussed Shruti Gita verses in the Janalokam. Narada Maharshi was there. All the rishis are present there. So all topics related to spiritual life, higher topics, which are in a much higher level, they are not discussing for regulative principles there. That is left to us here. They discuss topics which we won't even understand. That you can see when you study Shruti Gita. Very difficult to understand what is being spoken there, isn't it? If you read the verses and translation, it's very difficult to understand. So, in the Janalokam, that kind of things are discussed in Janalokam. And then above than that, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam. Tapolokam is the Tapasvi's places. Once you come to Maharlokam, the chances of coming back, there's no chances. You go further up from there. Then you will go to Janalokam in due course, and then Tapalokam. And finally, when you are completely free from the influence of Maya, totally free, then you reach the Satyalokam, Brahma's planet. And once you come to Brahma's planet, then you go back to the spiritual world or completely released from the bondage. Bondage means that Maya cannot touch you anymore after that. Brahma goes back, you go back with that. Krishna will say these things in the next few verses. This is the general way it is spoken about the living entity situation in this world. That much, if you understand, that is enough. So, while being here in these three, Bhulogam, Purlogam, Swarlogam, due to sinful activity, papa vasana, karma vasana, sinful activity, we will have to go down as well in the lower planetary systems. So, Prakriti and Purusha. We remember in the Sankhyam it is Prakriti and Purusha. Due to the contact of the Prakriti with Purusha, creation is happening. Remember that all that what you see, the changes, is the changes in the Prakriti. The changes that's happening inside the Prakriti. Now, Krishna says to Uddhava in this situation that if there is a tree growing in this world, only the seed is present in the tree, nothing else. Seed is the tree actually. We see the stem or the trunk, branches, leaves, twigs, flowers, fruits, everything. So many things, isn't it? But actually Krishna is saying, that is not the real thing. The thing is the seed. All that thing is packed inside that seed. You can see a huge banyan tree, for example. From the one small banyan tree seed, what comes out, is it not? What comes out from that seed? A huge tree. And in that tree, there is hundreds of fruits, banyan tree's fruits. It's a massive tree. And in that, hundreds or thousands of fruits there. And in each of that fruit, there is so many seeds. And each of that seed has the capacity to bring another huge tree like that. So, Krishna's point is that there is something in the seed which is me, Krishna says. Alma, again referring to Alma. It is only because of that that tree is existing. Otherwise that tree is... So how Krishna puts it is, yastu yasi adi randascha savai madhyamcha tasya sat vigaro vyavahararto yatha taijasa parthiva. That is the 24th chapter, 17th verse. We will go a little bit in a irrational way now. We won't go verse by verse, because to get the make things more sense, it's I have to talk in a different way. So, Krishna says there that what is there in the beginning and what is there at the end, that alone there is in the middle also. That is Krishna's strong logic. What is in the beginning and what is there in the end, that is the only thing what is there in the middle also. Something new cannot come in the middle. Don't go by the senses what you see. Because when you see the tree, there's only the seed in the beginning. Then the tree has come. And finally the whole thing goes away. The tree disappears. And there is seed still. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that this vikaram, vikaram means changes. That is only in the vavaharam. Only while, say, the tree is growing, in that growing stage, all the changes are happening. The big trunk came, then the branches came, then the small branches came, then the leaves came, then the flowers came, then the fruits came. All those things have happened. So, similarly, when you take the gold,
you have gold, pure gold. From there you have made various jewelry. And that jewelry, finally you have used it for some time, and then you have again made it back to gold. Is it not? Back to gold. But as just like when you use the gold, in order to make it jewelry and all that, you have to add some other pure gold, you cannot use it. Is it not? People who know about the gold, they will tell you this, that pure gold cannot be used for the jewelry. They have to have a small content of some other metal, I think, to use it, so that it can be properly made as a jewelry. Similarly, Atma also, when creation happens, it requires a little bit of impurity there, and that is Maya. It is by adding Maya into pure consciousness that creation has come about. If there is no Maya, then there is no creation either, because it's pure. They give this example to make us understand, the example of the gold. Just like gold, if you want to make it as a jewelry, you need to add to it some metal, I think, I don't know what it is, copper, is it? Copper or something like that, yeah. Some metal. They add a very small percentage, that's why we say 22 carats or something, isn't it? And we consider gold is such a big business, isn't it, in the world. So the gold, pure gold, cannot be used for that. So gold has to have some percentage of something else to make it workable, or to make it as the ornaments and jewelry and all that. Similarly, pure consciousness cannot create. Pure consciousness, when it's in touch with Maya, Maya is that impurity that you add into it. And after that, creation begins. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, mahatattam, sutralma, karmam, kalam, everything comes after that. They are all made of the same pure consciousness, but with different grades of impurity added to it. Grades of impurity. So, but pure gold, Krishna is saying that beginning there is only pure gold, and then for the sake of jewelry I have added all these impurities and created all these things, and later on when I removed all the impurities and brought the gold, pure gold back, there is only pure gold existing. In the beginning also there is only pure gold, in the end also there is only pure gold or Atma. In the middle I have added these impurity things, and all these things are done, and later on they have removed and finished with that. So, Sarga Pravartade Taval Pauvavariana Nityasha Mahan Gunavisargartha Stityando Yavadikshanam. So, here something more to understand, that as this creation, Krishna is saying, what they call it as Ikshanam. Ikshanam, remember in the Bhagavadam you will see this word Ikshanam. Ikshanam means, you'll see, Mahavishnu glanced over the material nature. That's what it says there, isn't it? Glancing over. Now, when you read that first time, you said, oh, he created the whole thing. He glanced over the material nature. And it was all created. We think, and then we haven't got a clue what it's all about. That somebody has looked and creation happened. Glancing over the material nature. So, this glancing of Vishnu, or what is called as drishti. Drishti is this glancing over. And as long as we have this karmam in us, till that time, this material existence will be there. Our material existence. Material existence means what? Birth, death, old age, disease, all that, and this recycling through these different bodies. And these two things are related to each other, because as long as I have this nature of doing karma, karma shakti, as long as it is there, I have the capacity to do in engage in action, my attention will be there into the material life, material world. I'll be attracted to the material world because of karma shakti in me. Karma vasana is there. So, as long as Jiva has karma vasana, or attraction for, that means he has got vasana inside, which is called karma vasana. If the vasana is there, he will have attraction for material world. He'll have attraction for material world. And if you have attraction for the material world, material existence will keep increasing. Will keep increasing. That is why we don't go away from here very easily. Even if we are thrown out, we'll come back here again. We will say, I was here before. Where is, why are you throwing me out? We'll put our claim here. Doesn't matter. That is that karma vasana inside, making the claim back here. Like we say that when we are thrown out from here. So, but once you have jnana drishti means, instead of this, this drishti, means drishti in the towards world, or karma vasana inside, if that goes away, in order to get that karma vasana away, our vision towards the world has to change. Our vision towards the world has to change. Our drishti towards the world has to change. And that drishti is called jnana drishti, knowledge, based on knowledge. So when the jnana drishti develops in a person, you will realize that this prakriti and purusha joining together, it's a false thing. Prakriti is separate, purusha is separate. Atma is separate, chaitanyam is separate, jadam is separate. This knowledge will build up inside. So, prakriti purusham, because purusha's drishti, when our drishti goes into prakriti, that is when we forget our identity as purusha. Identity as purusha. So, that is why when it comes to creation, you have to look into all these things before you explain creation, what creation means. Just like Brahman. Brahman is pure consciousness, isn't it? Pure consciousness. Remember the four famous statements in the Upanishads? Aham Brahmasmi, Pratyanam Brahma, I am Alpam Brahma, Tattvamasi. The four famous things. That's all centered around Brahman, pure consciousness. So, Brahman, from Brahman comes Maya. And similarly, Kalam, time. Time, everything. So, from Maya you have seen, we talked yesterday, Sutratma and Mahatattvam, and then that creation process comes like that. So, if you want to talk about creation, first thing is that if there is not somebody to look at the creation, how will you say that there is creation? First you require somebody to look at the creation. Just like if there is in a village, everybody is blind in the village, or everyone cannot hear, blind and deaf. What will they say about their village? They can't say anything. Similarly, to talk about the creation, first you require somebody there to talk about the creation, is it not? Who is experiencing the creation. So, and this experience, what we have now, when we are in this state, only in this state this creation exists as it is existing now. What Krishna's point is, once you have experienced a spiritual life, Alma, inside, and this identification with the body, mind, intelligence and ego has gone away, and you have come to your pure state of pure consciousness, what you are, in that state, you won't be able to explain this creation the way you are explaining now. Do you understand that? When you have come away from the body, and the mind, and the intelligence, and the ego and everything, you have lost all the your upadhi, you have lost it. And you have come to your pure consciousness. Krishna is saying to us, you won't be able to explain this creation anymore the way you are explaining it now about the creation. That is the big thing. So therefore, Krishna is saying there that only if you understand that, when we'll understand when devastation is spoken. Devastation. In the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, there is four kinds of devastation spoken. Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. Every day there is devastation. Then there is Naimityam. On a day of Lord Brahma, what happens? Then there is Prakritam, based on the total devastation. And then Atyantikam, which is such a devastation that there is no more devastation after that. So, those differences, Suta Goswami says these things to Shaunak Rishi before finishing Srimad Bhagavatam. You will come to that when you come to 12th canto. Why these things are spoken is to open up our eyes and to get rid of all false understanding in our head about creation and about other understanding what we get from the world about these things. So, they are saying here that in creation as well, if you look at the world today, every day there is change happening here, is it not? Continuously change is going on every day in the world, which means creation is going on continuously. For example, water is flowing, the river is flowing, the hills are changing their sizes, mountains and hills. And similarly, we will say that constantly in the creation, there is change happening. There is change happening. What they talk about? Now, when we talk about this, what do they call the change in the weather pattern? Climate change. They talk about climate change. That is a change in the creation. Is it not? Creation is not same. It's always changing. On a daily basis, it's changing. A lot of places, it's forests, and then it all get cleared up one day. We build houses or properties there. And somewhere else we plant the trees and so many things happens there. Similarly, we turn the directions of the rivers. Rivers are turning their directions. So you can never say that this creation is always the same. It's always changing. And you have also noticed, even if you accept this, that within the earthly planet, what all changes are going on, you can see. That big, big continents are broken up. And countries have changed their nature, everything in the nature. If you go to the Arctic Circle, Antarctic Circle, you see, if you look how they produce the movies about them, to show us that what all changes are going on there. So constant change is the nature of this creation. And this way of changes, and this is called Nitya Pralayam. Nitya Pralayam or Nitya Ulpati. As far as creation is concerned, it's called Ulpati. Daily creation. And similarly, there is devastation also on a daily basis. On a daily basis, there is creation. On a daily basis, there is devastation also going on. Nothing is permanent here. Everything is changing all the time. Creation is going on one side, destruction is also going on other side. But we are not taking that into seriously. That is why this Nitya Pralayam and Nitya Creation or Nityam Ulpati, they call it, that is not noticed very seriously, but it is going on. It is going on. And it is in this that we have got our different years, like this, now we say it is year 2014 or some other Christian era or Islam has got their era, whatever that is, 1400 or 1500. Then Shaka era is there, Vikramabdham is there, so many different. So in this changing nature of the creation, that's where we have created this thing called the different eras, what they call it. That's one. Then secondly, Brahma's creation. Brahma's creation and Brahma's life. If you look that, that is in the Bhagavatam. Brahma talks about that to Narada Maharshi. He has got a lifespan of 4 billion something, isn't it? 320,000. Our year. And he has got also that Brahma's days, if you look, you will see he has got a very long span of life. Like we have, we have got here, Satyayugam, Traidayugam, Dwabarayugam, Kaliyugam. Four yugam. In there, each yugam has got Sake for Kali Yugam, we say 432,000 years. And Dwapara Yugam, 864. And then Treta Yugam, 1.2 million years. And Satyugam is 1.8 million years. All these four together is called one Chaturyugam. Thousand of those Chaturyugam is one day of Lord Brahma. One day of Lord Brahma. Thousand of them. Chaturyugam is one day of Lord Brahma. And similarly, Brahma has similar days and similar nights. Thousand Chaturyugam is one day. Thousand Chaturyugam is one night. Similarly, 365 days of that makes 1 year of Lord Brahma. And similarly, he has got 100 years life. So, those 100 years life, we calculate all in terms of our human years, it'll come to something like 4.32 billion years, Brahma's life. We think that that is the only thing. And we start looking at Brahma, wow, he has got such a long life. And we have got only about 60 or 70, something like that. And he has got so. So we naturally feel a great respect for Lord Brahma, isn't it? He lives such a long time. And if you want to see this fun of this time, you have to read Bhagavatam. Balaram wanted to get married. Balaram was supposed to be married. So there was a place called Kushasthali. I don't know what is it called now, them days, in Balaram's time. Anartha kingdom. Anartha was the kingdom. That king wanted to find a husband for his daughter, Revati. So, he was ruling that Anartha kingdom way before Brahma was here. Balaram was here. Balaram was born. Long, long before that. Something like 28 Chaturyugam before he was ruling that kingdom. So he could not find a suitable husband for the daughter, Revati. So he went with her to Brahma's planet, Lord Brahma's planet. When he went there, there was a musical concert going on in the Satyalogam. There was a musical concert was going on. The concert was so good, everybody was so absorbed in that. Brahma was also absorbed. And all other great personalities who were present there, they were absorbed in that musical concert. So he went there, this king from here, he had the access there, somehow he got there with the daughter. And he wanted to see Brahma. So he was sitting there. He wanted the concert to finish, to see Brahma, to talk to him. By the time the concert was over, he enjoyed the concert very much and he sat there. Concert was over, then he went and saw Brahma. And when he told Brahma that I have come from here and I wanted you to help me to find somebody as a husband to my daughter, Revati, Brahma smiled when he said that. Because by now, from here he has come there, see how the time difference, comparing the time from here and there. In Brahma's time, when you take the time of the concert was 28 Chaturyugam has gone there. By that of this year here. So he said to the king that who came from here that all the people whom you are thinking about, they don't exist anymore. They've all gone. After that, so many generations have come and gone because 28 Chaturyugam has gone. So you can imagine, 1000 Chaturyugam is one day of Lord Brahma. So if you look at the Chaturyugam level, 28 Chaturyugam is not long, isn't it? 28 is a small part of 1000. So the musical concert was only for a 28 Chaturyugam time. But when you experienced in the Brahma's planet, in relationship with this world, it was a huge amount of time. Huge amount of time. So the king realized it when Brahma told him that if you go back, you won't even see your palace there. Everything is gone. He said, there's nobody there. The whole world has changed so much that when you get back, you will find that there is nobody there. People are all different. Nobody whom you knew before will be there, he said. And then he suggested to him that you go now anywhere there is a personality called Balaram there. Go and marry her to Balaram. That's how this Kugudmi, that was his name, from the king of Anartha. He came back with Revati and took Revati to Balram and told Balram, you marry her. And Balram married her. That is how that system. So you can understand from that, that the this time business is a very dangerous thing. You make use the time here in one way. And if you go with this watch to Brahmalokam, it won't help you there very much. What will you do with this watch in Brahmalokam if you go there? With this, there 24 hours is so different. You will see when you are in Brahmalokam, within 15 minutes there the whole watch 24 hours would have gone, finished through that. So that's how the time is. The time plays tricks. That's all the way things works there. So what Krishna is saying to us is that based on that, there is a change happening and there is a creation that is explained in the Shastram. Brahma's creation, as it is spoken. Then, there is another one which is called Prakritam. Nityam, Naimittikam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. What does Prakritam mean? Prakritam means, from Mula Tattvam, Mahatattvam, what Krishna is talking about here. Mahatattvam, then the influence of time, Kalam, and you can see that creation is different than the Brahma's creation. Brahma's creation is very much time-based creation. That's why they are explaining everything in terms of our life. That's what Brahma's creation is spoken. Then there is another creation which cannot be explained in terms of time. And that is what this Prakritam. Prakritam means it's too coarse or too crude to explain in terms of time. Only when it is spoken in terms of time, we can understand that, isn't it? Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to understand. What does that creation mean? Because it's too long, beyond our calculation even. That's how big that is. Which one? Mahatattvam, Sutralatma, Prakriti, Maya, Kalam, and all that. So that is a third type of creation Krishna is talking about. Can you see the difference between each one of them? One is Nityam, other one is Naimittikam, third one is Prakritam. In the Prakritam, if you look at it, you will see there that things what spoken there is different than what has happened in the Naimittikam. In Prakritam, Krishna is talking about this agitation in the Mahatattvam and or in the Prakriti. And from there, Mahatattvam and Sutralatma has come. We can't put a date to it when it happened. It is that long back. It is so old that you can't put a date to it. Brahma, you can put a date to him, isn't it? Because it tells you, Bhagavatam also tells us, Brahma is 100 years, his lifespan. He is now 51 year old, looking for his pension. Brahma is at that stage now. So Brahma has got 100, after that, Brahma's 100 years old, Brahma goes. And then in the Puranam you will also see this, that in the next Brahma will come, another Brahma will be given that position. Like Mahabali is given another position as Indra. Similarly, every time when Brahma also comes, each Brahma had 100 years. In that 100 years, he will have 14 Manus. Each Manu has got 71 Chaturyugam, in other words. That in one day of Lord Brahma, 1000 Chaturyugam. In that 1000 Chaturyugam, there will be 14 Manus. So imagine, Brahma has got 1000 Chaturyugam in one day. Similarly, he has got 365 days, and he has got 100 years like that. 365 days is 1 year, and 100 years like that. These are all based on figures spoken. This particular creation. And in that, each Chaturyugam, day of Lord Brahma, 14 Manus are present there. Out of those 14 Manus, has each of them have got 71 Chaturyugam. That means 994 Chaturyugam. Balance 6 Chaturyugam is left to finish Brahma's one day. That will overlap with the night. It overlaps each other. So anyway, the important thing to know that is this, that this third type of creation, which is not called here Prakritam, is not the same what Brahma's creation is. Here, you can see here that here we talk about Prakriti and Purusha, Mula Prakriti. Mula Prakriti comes Sutralma and Mahatattvam, and then the manifestation of all this mind and Ahangaram Satyam Rajasam Tamasam, all that creation, how that has come about. So that is that third one. Then the last one is called Atyandigam, final devastation or final creation, which are, if you take it final devastation, it is called Atyandiga Pralayam. What does that mean? It means that you have completely come out of Ajnanam or Avidya and the world does not exist anymore. That state. What you experience in the deep sleep. That all the time in that state. That is what Krishna says is final devastation. So normally we, you see how four different ways the rishis have spoken about it. Nityam, Naimitiyam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam. Four different ways, creation as well as devastation. They have looked at it in a much deeper level. Whereas ordinary people, what will they say? Oh, we will say devastation means pralayam, or the whole place will get filled with water. That's all. And then all the water will dry up, like the way it dries up. Now when we had the shower yesterday, it dried up after 2 days. Similarly, the whole place is filled with water and the water will dry up. Rishis won't give any importance to that. That's a part of the Nitya Pralayam. Daily devastation it is. Daily devastation. So Krishna is going to say these things in these verses now. In the coming. This is just a summary of all that, what we have spoken so far. So there he is saying here that out of these four, the first one, whether it is creation or it is devastation, it's the same in four different ways. Creation one four way, devastation in four different ways. So on a daily basis, there is creation and there is devastation. On a daily basis. Then on a based on Lord Brahma's life, Naimitika Pralayam, that means Brahma goes to sleep after 1000 Chaturyugam. His night time is also 1000 Chaturyugam. So 1000 Chaturyugam he goes to sleep, which is a very long period of time he sleeps. At that time, all creation, all the living entities, they goes back to Lord Brahma and stays with him. Stays with him at that time. After 1000 Chaturyugam, he gets his rest. So everybody goes and stays with him. Then when he wakes up, everybody comes out from him. Comes out from him. You will see in the Bhagavatam, when Narada Maharshi, when he was that in his one kalpam, once one day of Lord Brahma, he had become the son of a servant maid. Remember that in the beginning of the Bhagavatam? That servant maid's son was Narada Maharshi. And it is in that life that he got the association of the rishis, the sages, and he became a devotee. And then Krishna appeared and told him that in this lifetime you won't see me anymore. In next lifetime you will come as a great devotee, and blessed him and left him. After that Narada Maharshi says, I used to sing all kirtan and bhajans and travel all around the world till I left this body. Narada Maharshi himself says that. That happened in one kalpam of a Brahma. In one particular kalpam. One kalpam means in particular day of Lord Brahma. This happened. Then when this Narada Maharshi comes back, much later, Brahma went to sleep. And then when next time when Brahma woke up, Narada Maharshi woke up from the lap of Brahma, he says, I was tired sitting there, I had so much sleep, he says. Brahma says, sorry, Narada Maharshi says. And then he came up, and now I have come up like this, in this form, with the veena in the hand, and this is my new life. He says this to, Narada Maharshi says this, about to Vedavyas, before Bhagavatam was written. Look at the time gap, when he was a little boy, as a servant maid son, and who was serving the rishis, in which kalpam he lived, and in which kalpam he is Narada Maharshi. He has become Narada Maharshi. such a big gap in the time between those two lifetimes. In that time, one whole night he had spent with Lord Brahma. One whole night of Lord Brahma's night he spent with him, which means 1000 Chaturyugam in our calculations. 1000 Chaturyugam. So this daily changes what's happening in this, which is also a kind of creation and devastation simultaneously going on here, that even though it is happening, we are thinking ourselves, we are seeing the same world every day. Is it not? When you look at the world, you think, oh, everything is there. Watford is there, Lechmorehead is there, and Heathrow is there. Everything is same. We have given some names to all these places and we think they're all there. So where is the change? We ask. But in truth, it's not the thing. It is changing continuously. Everything is changing. So therefore, due to that changes only, we have to accept that there is creation is going on continuously, devastation is also going on continuously. And that is called Nitya Pralayam or Nitya Creation, Ulpati. Nitya Ulpati or Nitya Pralayam. Either way, if you take it. Then Brahma's creation is Naimitika Pralayam or Naimiti Ulpati, which is Brahma. Based, time-based. That's time-based. Based on time. Then after that, the third one is Prakritam. Prakritam means not time-bound. You cannot give time to it. Sometime, we don't know when it happened. Better not to look into that, because it's so far behind, ago, it happened, long ago. And that is based on the basic creation, what Krishna is talking about, Mula Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Sutralma, Maya, all that combination of everything. Ahangaram, Satya Ahangaram, Rajas Ahangaram, Tamas Ahangaram, all that kind of creation. And similarly, that creation will also go away when they are all withdrawn, which we don't know. Because it cannot be brought into the frame of time. You cannot bring it into the frame of time. It is so much out. Then finally Krishna is saying, due to ajnanam or avidya inside us, when you get released from this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, when you come to a pure state of consciousness, that's also called devastation. That means you are not coming back again here into this cycle of karma, into maya, completely released from karma, maya, everything gone, totally. You have gone back to your pure consciousness state, whatever that is. That state you have reached, and that is the final devastation. Because once you have come to that state, this calculation of creation and devastation has no meaning. It is like a ripple happening here in terms of that existence. So, whichever state you exist is more important than sitting here and looking at the creation and finding out how long it has been there. It has no meaning. That is why when you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you start realizing our limitations. We have limitations. Limitation is this, that somehow or the other we got educated in this way, like based on the time and based on the space. Is it not? Time and space. And it is with this time and space you are measuring everything, including this creation and including the devastation. Rishis are telling us, throw away your time and space first. They are not completely rejecting it. They are giving that also into the calculations. You can have it in a certain level, but that itself is not everything. Also, you have to take into account Nityam, Naimitikam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. I've spoken all these things now because it will come in the 12th canto again, when Sudha Goswami will talk to Shaunagarishi in detail about this. And you may think that why all this is spoken in the 12th canto, the reason is this, that Parikshit had heard everything. By now Parikshit is gone from this world. It is at that time Shaunagarishi asked some questions to Sudha Goswami. That's where these things come. And Sudha Goswami says to Shaunagarishi that what happened to Parikshit when he left the body, it was that total devastation. That's what has happened to Parikshit. So Parikshit, to come to that state, Parikshit had to be, these things had to be spoken And Sukadeva Goswami spoke these things in a different way. And he is summarizing that and putting it in front of Shaunak Rishi and saying to him that do not think that this is any way different than what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken before. It is one and the same thing. So, let us go back to that again where we started yesterday when we stopped that verse, which we, ninth verse, I think we talked about. These verses in this Bhagavadam is too much to explain, also very, very difficult. If you get something out of it, well and good. That's all I can say, because it's spoken in such a higher level by Krishna. And those personalities in that great mood of goodness can capture it. To that extent it is so deep, the verse there. Maya sanshotito bhava sarve samhatya karina andam ulpadaya masur mamayatanam uttamam. So mahatattvam, Krishna is saying, due to the agitation of the pure consciousness created this brahmandam, cosmic manifestation. Tasminnaham, any point in looking at creation purely based on the matter is meaningless. That's the point. To look at the creation in terms of only matter and thinking that matter is only creation is the biggest blunder. There's no bigger blunder than that. That is because those who are looking at it due to their rajogunam inside. That's the reason behind it. They cannot imagine that there is another subtle things to it more than this matter what they are seeing. That's the unfortunate thing. Tasminnaham samabhavam ande salila samstido mama nabhyam abhul palpam vishwakhyam tatra chalma bhu. Krishna says there that pralaya jalam in that egg I have taken birth as Narayana. That's how the word Narayana came. Naram is water. One who has taken the shelter of water as their basis. Naram, whose ayanam is Narayana. Ayana means the bed or the place where he is lying. So, mamanabhyam vishwakhyam palmabhul tatraja almabhu. So, Shri Narayana name has come like that. Narayana. That name Narayana has come. That Naram means water. Water as this basis on which Narayana lies down, isn't it? On Adishesha is Narayana. So, water, everywhere water it is. And in that water, he is lying there. So, that is what we were discussing. So, as I mentioned earlier, that Ishvara, that position came when in the universe, in the creation, Brahmandam, you can call it. This Brahmandam is also a very interesting thing. Brahmandam is what they translate it as universe, isn't it? Or cosmic manifestation. Up to this time, they were saying there is only one Brahmandam. Who? Scientists were saying. There's only one Brahmandam. One universe. Recently they started saying there is many more universes. Somebody did some research and found out. Through research they found out that there is many more universes. They are saying. There's more universes. Now they are saying that. So, initially there was only one universe. Now they are saying there is many more. If you ask them how many, that's we have to find out that. It's like that black hole research. You remember? Somebody is researching on a black hole. The black hole sucks everything into it. So many planets are going towards that, into that black hole. So they say, we can't see them anymore. And these people are sitting there with their telescopes, looking at them, trying to understand where they have gone. And they have gone in the black hole. And somebody got a PhD for that, for finding out that. This is the PhD talking about. So, anyway, no, it's no point in discussing. So here, Krishna is saying here, Let's understand this. Upadhi. Upadhi is the one what we are talking about. The name Ishvara came. Ishvara came when Krishna accepted this position as Ishvara to function within the creation in contact with the Maya. In contact with the Maya or Prakriti. Take for example, if you have a pot, you've made a pot, say big clay pot. How will you address that? There is a pot, and there is sky outside, and there is sky inside. One is called Ghatagasham, and the sky outside is called Matagasham. Remember that? That example in the Bhagavatam. It says to Parikshit. Parikshit was told about Ghatagasham and Matagasham at the last minute. In the 12th canto, 5th chapter, you can read that. So, we didn't do anything to create a sky inside the pot. We created the pot, and in that process, the sky became two, one inside and one outside. Ghatagasham inside, Matagasham outside. So we call it as Ghatagasham because it's inside the pot. Akasha means space or sky. The sky inside the pot is Ghatagasham, and the sky outside is Matagasham. So without filling itself, it has become like that. Akasham or space is everywhere. And when Ghatam or pot was created, Akasham or sky happened to be inside as well. But Akasham is everywhere. Space is everywhere. So, when all these things, what Krishna said, which one? Maya, Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Sutralatma, and then the three modes of material nature, their variations, and Ahankaram, Tanmatra, Panchatanmatra, Panchabuddha. When all of them combined together and became an egg, Krishna says it became an egg. And when it all combined together, Krishna entered into that as well. You will see this in the third canto of Bhagavatam, spoken. Remember this? I don't know whether you can remember that. It is in the third canto, it is spoken. Finally, when Krishna entered, it got life. It got life. So, when he enters into that Brahma Tattvam, Brahmam, it is addressed as Brahmam at that time. Brahmam enters into that egg. And that is called Saguna Brahmam. Saguna Brahmam. That means Brahmam is now in contact with Prakriti or Maya and present in this manifestation form, manifested form. Or Saguna Brahmam or Gunalpaga Brahmam. That means Brahmam, normally Brahmam is Nirguna. Nirguna means three modes of nature cannot touch Brahmam or Krishna. But when Brahmam is in influence with the modes of nature, he is called Saguna Brahmam. Saguna Brahmam. Therefore, that does not mean Gunam is affecting them. Gunam is not affecting Brahmam. But just like in the pot, the sky is inside, and that sky we call it as Ghatagasham. The sky inside the pot. And the sky outside the pot, because the pot was created. Similarly, this huge Brahmandam was created, and in there inside, Brahmam has come, and there is Brahmam outside as well. It is the same Brahmam who is inside and outside like the sky. And even though the Brahmam is inside this Andam or Brahmandam, it is called, this egg, he is not affected by anything what's going on inside the Brahmandam. He is in touch with Maya, but Maya cannot touch him, do anything to him. You see that? So, just like in the pot, the sky is inside, the sky is outside. If you break the pot, the sky is one. Similarly, if Brahmandam is broken up, there is only Brahmam. Inside, outside is only Brahmam. Actually, there is only Brahmam, but Andam or this egg was formed due to the presence of all other things. Which one? Maya and Mahatattvam, Sutralma, three modes of material nature, their variations, Panchatanmatras, and finally the Panchabuddha, five material elements. All of them combined together is this egg was formed. And Brahmam has entered into that as well. Entered into that. So even though he has entered inside this, Nothing has changed. Just like the sky inside the pot is not changing anything. It is still the sky. It is still inside, outside. Once you break the pot, it is one and the same sky. Similarly, if you break the Brahmandam completely, it is only Brahman inside or outside. So, but for convenience sake, like the sky in the pot, we will say the sky inside the pot, which is called Ghatakasham. That's called Ghatakasham, isn't it? Ghatakasham means the sky that is inside the pot. When I'm saying all these things, you may find a little bit boring, because you may think that, why it is all these things? What do you have to know all these things for? You have to know this, I'll tell you why. When we discuss the fifth chapter in the 12th canto, this will come helpful. Because when we talk about liberation, of course, to make it easier, I can put it also in the other way. Normally what we say is, just go back, come back to Godhead and finish everything there. Go there and get your apartment there and live there comfortably after that. But that is not how Parikshit was told. Sukha Brahmarshi didn't tell him like that. Sukha Brahmarshi did it in the Rishi's way, how the Rishis expects him to understand and come to that state. So when you study that 13 verses in the 12th canto, 5th chapter, Brahmopadesham includes all these things. That's where it will be spoken. It will be mentioned there very precisely. Ghatakasham, Atakasham, everything comes there. So to make it easier, that we call this as Ghatakasham, the sky inside the pot. But that Ghatakasham and Matakasham, the sky outside and the sky inside, they are one. They are not two Akasham. But because you have created the pot, it became two. Strictly there is only one sky, is it not? One space only. But because I created the pot, it became two. For me, for convenience sake, I am using it as Ghatakasham and Matakasham. Ghatakasham and Matakasham. So, and we call it as Ghatakasham, and because in our awareness, we feel like that. There is a sky separated inside, sky outside, something different. Because we believe that there is a pot existing there. Is it not? Because pot is what you see through your eyes. So because there is a pot existing, we are saying that there is a sky inside called Ghatakasham. And similarly, I believe now, just like I believe in that pot, I look at the world and I see there is a universe existing there. There is a universe existing there. And that is only due to my awareness, the way I am. When I look at the pot and I think there is a pot there, and there is a sky inside, there is a sky outside. I look at the world and I think that there is a universe existing, which has got a shell all around. Otherwise, how will you imagine this creation? Where does this begin? Where does it end? But for my convenience sake, I am imagining like that. That there is something existing like that. And if somebody asks me a question, what is outside that, what exists? I have no answer. Do you? You can't answer that question. How far this creation stretches? And after that, what happens? It's beyond your imagination. So, because it is like that, beyond our imagination, we are believing that it is a universe that is existing. And in only to satisfy our intelligence, Brahman accepts this position as Saguna Brahman. This Saguna Brahman has come like that. Otherwise, Brahman, the word itself, if you look at the word Brahman, you know what that means? Brahman means Brihat, unlimited. Brahman means Brihat. Brihat means unlimited. There is no limit you can put onto it. That's what is Brihat. Because in our limited understanding or in our limited perception, awareness, we can only imagine to some extent. To what extent? How far can you go your thoughts? To what extent? Even the mind cannot comprehend, intelligence cannot comprehend, nothing can comprehend this Nirguna Brahman. So to make us, it is easier for us, Saguna Brahman is formulated for that purpose. so that at least you know there is a universe. Within that, all these temples, deities, worship, everything with this understanding. That is how we, when you start your spiritual life, you think that Krishna is only in the temple, nowhere else. You begin like that and then it slowly expands further. But how far it has to expand? Imagine that. So Brahmam, the Adhishtanam, Adhishtanam is the basis on which that living force or Chaitanyam or consciousness or Jnapti or Prajna or whichever way you address that, so many different ways, Sutratma, all Sutram, all these kinds are used there. So when he becomes Sagunam within the framework of the universe as Ishvara, he is addressed as Narayana. Narayana is the Ishvara. Nara means water, and this water is not this our water what we are talking about. This is all our, the way our mind creates stuff. You remember there is a word, causal ocean, isn't it? People start thinking, what kind of ocean is that? What kind of water is there? It's not. You start thinking that. Because this is such a subtle thing that very difficult also to explain it to anybody. But initially, suppose you have taken Srimad Bhagavatam and you read that. There is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, Karanodakshayi Vishnu. Remember, Karanodakshayi Vishnu. And then Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Three Vishnus. Mahavishnu is there. And then the three Vishnus also. Karanodakshayi Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. I'm sure, I don't know how you felt when you read all that first. I don't think you have gone further after reading that. And that too comes in the first canto itself. Prabhupada is explaining that. Like that sannyasi said, after reading all that he said, it's far out, he said. He said, I've never read any book like this, he said. After reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He was finding it difficult. And then after the class he said, have you got any questions? He said. And everybody was looking at each other. So this is where we are now with the Bhagavatam. Imagine our problems, our limitations. Then we say that we understand Bhagavatam. What do we understand Bhagavatam? How can we understand Bhagavatam? Imagine our so helpless we are as far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned. So this, coming back to this, because in this chapter, Krishna is talking about this Karanajalam, where Karanodakshayi Vishnu is lying. We have got photographs of all the Vishnus. There's no problem there. We have got, in the Bhagavatam, all the Vishnus photographs, isn't it? As though we have gone and taken photos and come back and put it in the Bhagavatam. We have seen him. And we are thinking, opening all these pages and imagining in our mind, what could that be? Mind is such a thing, it will not allow you. Then we tell the people, just accept what it says. Don't question anything. That is our next approach. To tell people that if you ask questions, that means you have no faith. And if you have no faith, you can't make any progress in spiritual life. We say, and put the shutter there in front of him. So, this Karana Jalam is Jalam. Jalam means normally water, isn't it? But it is not that water. The vasana which is present in the whole creation, that vasana is Karana Jalam. You know, in the creation process, the big influence comes from the vasana. Like, all sorts of things are going on in this creation, is it not? All sorts of things. And all sorts of kinds of vasanas we have got in us. Different kinds of vasanas in different living entities. Different types of vasanas. Not only in us. There is vasanas in the demigods. There is vasanas in the sages, rishis. There is vasanas in the demons. There is vasanas in the Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and those kind of people. And there is vasanas in all other species as well. They have their vasana. So all this vasana collectively is called that water of the causal ocean. Vedantam explains all these things in a little bit more acceptable way, understanding way than in the way Puranams explain. Because Vedantam takes Upanishads also into the picture. Upanishads can say these things better and they will give you a better understanding than in the Puranam. Puranam will just put it like this to us, that there is Karana Jalam, there is this Kshirodha Kshay Vishnu lying in the Kshirodhaga ocean, and there is other stories, like for example Gajendra's story. Remember Gajendra's story in the 8th canto? When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, when you come to that, there explains there, Triguda Parvatam, where is that mountain? And where this Gajendra was enjoying in the forest. And Vedavyasa Maharshi has explained that forest in such a depth, you are completely amazed by the details there of that forest. The kind of birds, the kind of animals, the kinds of plants and trees. Any plant and tree, what you see here, it's all mentioned in that. Almost all you can see there. Coconut tree is there, banana is there, mangoes are there, jackfruit is there. There's nothing that's not there. And similarly, the animals also mentioned there. And in the middle of all that, he was... And if you ask... And it also says there that that Triguda Parvatam is near the ocean of milk. Mentions like that. So you start thinking, how do they do the watering over the plants there? With the milk or with the water? So any question can come up like this in the mind. Yes or not? So whatever it may be, this Karana Jalam means Vasana. Vasana is the Karana Jalam. So you have to think about Vasana in a broader sense, not limited to yourself or to me. That you have to think of Vasana means that impressions inside in all living beings, which has been there for a very, very, very long time. And it is in this Vasana is the water in which creation happens. Now, this is explained in a different way in the Vedantic text. Just like, try to think like this, that Rajasa and Shuklam. Rajasa and Shuklam. They combine together and then the baby is born in every living being, every species, isn't it? Particularly you're talking about the Rajasa and Shuklam. That means the... male and female sperm, what they refer to, join together, and from there the birth happens. So when the birth happens, Rajas and Shuklam join together in the womb of the mother, it solidifies, and Bhagavatam says it comes in the form of a small pea when it takes birth. Third canto you can see when the birth happens, when it is spoken. So prior to that happens, what's the step before that? Marriage, isn't it? From marriage, it is after marriage this happens. So prior to this, what happened is the marriage. And what does marriage depends on? Marriage depends on the fire sacrifice. That is the witness to the marriage. Homam, it is called. Homam is the fire sacrifice. And in that homam, what was used? Various ingredients were used, like yogurt, milk, and ghee, and many other ingredients were used in the homam. And all of them has a relationship with the water, with water. Jalamayam, they are called. And they are utilized in that. Now, look at the way the rishis look at this. Prior to formation of this embryo inside the mother's womb, there were Rajasa and Shuklam, the male and female sperm. Before that happened, the previous stage was marriage. Before that happened, the stage before that, this stage of ceremony, marriage ceremony. And before that stage, and when this was happening, prior to that, there was another stage that the man and the woman, both of them, they wanted to have children. Man and the woman wanted to have children. We are now talking about very civilized society, highly cultured and highly developed society. That's where all these principles are followed. Yeah. So only on that way you have to analyze this. No, don't go with the modern world, what happened. That is no meaning. Modern world, everything is okay. But, so, prior to that, man had a desire, woman had a desire. Because they had desires, they decided to get married. Both of them had the desire, they decided to get married. Both of them wanted children. Marriage is only for children as far as Shastram is concerned. Nothing else. Just prajayam, purpose is praja, children. That is the purpose. So, in order to get married, this sankalpam is necessary. This sankalpam is necessary. So, when the sankalpam is there in the man, and when the sankalpam is there in the woman, at some point, they come together through the process of marriage for the sake of having children. That is the time when Purusha and the Prakriti come together. Purusha and Prakriti come together. There, what's happening is, Prakriti is the stri or female side, and Purusha is the Pradhanam or the Chaitanyam side. And it is by joining them together, a third person is born. A third person is born. So, when they come together, you can see, when the man and the woman come together through the marriage, they don't have the child straight away. For some time, in the man's mind and the woman's mind, these desires builds up to have child, to have a child. And that sankalpam grows. Sankalpam grows. And in that process, unification, unity happens between the son is born. And finally the son is born. So, when they are in that conceptual stage, that means before the child is conceived, in both the husband and the wife, combinedly their vasanas come together. The vasanas in the male's heart and the vasanas in the female heart come together. And that is what which comes in the later on in the form of that small p, Rajasa and Shuklam later. Rajasa and Shuklam later. So, where was this lying? These thoughts that they were going through. And how did they live at that time? Because all their sankalpam were living in this vasana, in the vasana inside. Vasana of the male and vasana of the female. So that vasana combined together is called Karana Jalam. Karana Jalam. So Karanodakashayi Vishnu is that person who is controller of this vasana inside. Vasana inside. Karanodakashayi Vishnu. So, so if this vasanas in the male and the female, if they come together, then the child will be born. And you can imagine that they will be talking to each other, husband and the wife, oh, we will have a child, and when will we have it? Maybe next month, maybe month after, maybe after a few months. Like this, a discussion goes on. At that time, the thoughts of the male and the thoughts of the female is also in relationship with having the child. Is it not? In relationship with having the child. So, mutually, they are talking about it and they are thinking about it. That means all their vasanas, so that means both of them are lying in this causal ocean. Karana Jalam, vasana. That's where they are lying at. They are lying in that at that moment, isn't it? So that is called Vasana Jalam or Karana Jalam. Karana Jalam. So when this is on a Veshti basis, in a Veshti basis, imagine this in a Samashti level. Samashti level means on a complete thing. So that is where Karanodakshaya Vishnu is lying. And that is called Karana Jalam. That's called the whole Samashti Vasanas combined together collectively, and Vishnu lying in that Vasana is called Karana Jalam. That Vasana is called Karana Jalam. And it is from him that the lotus stem came about, and the lotus flower came about, and Brahma got this, and Brahma came into that. So that lotus flower is nothing but is what is known as the Mula Tattvam of Garbhadhanam. That means in creation process, there is a Moola Tattvam. Moola Tattvam means that very beginning of that. Moola Tattvam is that lotus flower. Lotus flower is a symbol representing that. Whereas normally what you will say, you will be thinking, oh, that lotus flower, it will be nice to see that lotus flower, but Brahma is sitting there inside that. And what happened to that, isn't it? Doesn't it dry up any day? Or it stays like that forever? All questions will come. And there will be so many stories in the Puranam when you read that stem of the lotus flower, it's so long, Brahma went through that. He went deeper and deeper and deeper, he couldn't find the end. You remember? There is all mentioned in the Puranam, you will see these things. And then Brahma gave up and we also gave up. Further inquiry stopped with the Brahma's origin. So that lotus flower is a sankalpam of this Moola Tattvam, what they call it, is because in the Samashti, creation requires a similar vasana there. And the vasanas collectively come together, and from that is called that Karana Jalam, and from there, that is where Karanadakshaya Vishnu is lying there, and from him, Moola Tattvam, that comes out in the form of Brahma, who stays there, and where he is situated, that place is called that lotus flower. What we read it as lotus flower. Lotus flower. So, and from that Moola Tattvam came the Mahatattvam. So, whatever that is in the Veshti, for example, you look at ourselves, we have got Atma, consciousness inside. Apart from that, we also got the mind, intelligence, ego, ahankaram, and senses, everything in us. Small package. Imagine that in a big package. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. He says here that Moola Tattvam, that is called Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam is that Moola Tattvam. And Moola Tattvam, and that Moola Tattvam is the seed of the Andhakaranam, or the subtle body. Subtle body is grown from that. All the subtle bodies have come from that. All the subtle bodies have come from that gross subtle thing called Mahatattvam. And Mahatattvam also came the three modes of material nature. And along with the modes of nature, it has got the senses, Andhakaranam, Tanmatra. All these things together created this little baby's body inside. You know, when the baby is born inside, first Bhagavatam explains that in the third canto, initially it was only a small pea-like thing. And it keeps growing. 10 months it took to come to the full growth. At that time, what all joins them? All these things joins them. Which one? What all mentioned here? That senses, Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means all the internal organs, which includes Buddha Tanmatras, what we talked about, Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham. And it has to join everything inside. And in that, it has to take such a form that the baby fits inside the mother's uterus. Isn't it? It has to fit inside the mother's uterus. So, and there he takes that shape, whatever shape he gets there. His shape is different than when he comes out. So, this is Veshti, in the Veshti level. And in the similar way, what you see in the Veshti level, in the Samashti level is also happening, which we cannot see with our present state. So therefore, because it is like that, when all these things are happening, have you noticed as a baby or as a little child inside the womb, till he comes out, the baby does not have any ownership? I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. Doesn't have it. That comes much later, after he came out, and then we, seeing us, he gets it. He picks it up from us. And then he also becomes a little controller here, like us. They also become a controller. So that has happened much later. So Krishna is saying here that when Krishna enters into this as Narayana, Narayana has no ownership like when we were in the womb. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva is not there in Narayana. When Narayana enters the causal ocean as Karanodaka Shai Vishnu, he doesn't have any ownership. I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. He's always independent. Completely independent. So, just like we said, when the sky goes inside the pot, it doesn't become separate. It is still the same sky. Similarly, when Brahman comes inside into this Brahmandam, Brahman is not affected. He is still independent in the same way. So the parts of the gunam or the modes of nature which is present inside this pot will not affect Narayana. What is in the Brahmandam will not affect Narayana. It won't affect him. So, for example, like in the pot, suppose there is a bad smell. Bad smell. You will say that's due to the pot. Smell has come. Say there was a pot which you have used for filling alcohol. Then you have emptied it. An empty pot is there. And if you smell the sky inside, it will smell alcohol. But the alcohol, the smell is coming from the pot, not from the sky. Sky is always pure. Sky is always pure. So similarly, if there is any smoke inside the pot, that smoke only affects the pot, not the sky there. As soon as you take it out, break it up, whatever impurities were inside the pot, that's gone. The huge sky remains there as it is. Similarly, whatever that is going on in this Brahmandam, or in this universe or creation, whatever that is going on, that only affects the Brahmandam, it does not affect Narayana. It does not affect Narayana. Similar, or the Chaitanyam, or the living force, which is Narayana, who is present inside this Brahmandam, he is not affected by that. But, because he is looking at this creation, as Brahmandagarena, we are looking at him as Ishvara, or Supreme Controller. We call him as Sagunam. He is worshipped as Saguna form. That is why that form is called Saguna form. Like we are worshipping Krishna as Gokulananda in the temple. But Gokulananda on his own is not affected by the modes any time. I think we'll have a break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purna amradaswadanam sarvatma savanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nana mahari bahuda nija sarva shakti atarpita mimida smaranena kala eda drishita vakripa bhagavan mamami ृदमीदृशमिहाजनि नानुरागाहम् तृणारमीषु नीचेनां तरोरमी सहिष्णुना महानीनानीय सदा हरिदनं न सुन्दरीं ब्रह्म जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदात् भक्तिमहीर्गित्वयि ऐ नन्दतनुजकिङ्करं पतितामांशमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलिसदृशं विचिन्तयाम् नयनं गलदश्रुधारया वदनं यद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकनिचिदं कदा वभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायितम् शून्यायिदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहेण मे अश्लिष्य वा पादरदं विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधा द्विलम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव मनापरा.
So, Brahman, that is Saguna Brahman. Saguna Brahman means Brahman which is present within the creation, within the universe. And all avatarams also comes from that. Narayana comes all the avataram, all the incarnations. Evam nanavataranam nidhanam bijam avyayam, says in the Bhagavatam. So all incarnations, that seed is that. Which one? Narayana, who is present inside the in the universe, Brahman, who is present in the form of Narayana, and from there, one after the other, incarnations come. Brahma comes, and that is why in the 10th verse, if you look, you'll see, Tasmin aham samabhavamande salilasam sthidau mamanabhyam abhut palmam vishwakhyam tatra chalmabhu Tasmin aham samabhavam ande salilasam sthidau mamanabhyam abhul palmam vishwakhyam tatra chalmabhu Vishwakhyam tatra chalmabhu. Krishna says, I lie in that water, which is known as the water of Vasana Jalam. And just like Vasana has caused the male and the female in the Veshti to create, similarly in that Vasana Jalam also, or Karana Jalam, what it's called, Vasana Jalam, the same Vasanas are present there. Where is our Vasana stored? In our Karana Shariram. Remember? Karana Shariram. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Stulam is our gross body. Sushma Shariram is mind, intelligence, Manasa, Buddhi, Hangaram, Chitram. Four things together. Is Sushma Shariram. Then there is a Karana Shariram. Remember, Karana Shariram is where all the files are stored up. Vasanas are stored there. It is that vasanas get transferred when the baby is sleeping. In the early days, baby sleeps 18-20 hours, isn't it? Doctors say, oh, he needs to sleep like that to grow. After that, he sleeps 8-10 hours, and old age, no sleep at all. The whole thing changes. The pattern. Why is it like that? The reason, Upanishad says, that when that baby stayed, Karana Shariram is not actually able to move everything back to the Sushma Shariram. So whatever vasanas that is required in this life, which has to operate temporarily for this body, that vasanas has to come from the Karana Shariram to Sushma Shariram. That's what happens during that sleeping hours. Large hours of sleep for the baby is for that reason. That's why he's sleeping. Not for any growing. Body can grow even without all that. Without all this, so many hours of sleep. But it appears to us that is Maya. To think that it's Maya make us feel that, oh, because he is sleeping, so mother is happy. Oh, 16, 18 hours, baby is sleeping. And so he'll grow very fast. Things like that. Growth is nothing but the vasanas getting moved away from the Karana Shariram to the Sushma Shariram. That's what's happening. So, here you can see also that Rajasa and Shuklam, of the male and female strength, they join together. And that has eventually developed and formed the baby. Baby grew up, and in him, that vasanas are present in him, whatever he has brought with him. And so, from that vasana, everything is coming. He sees the world through that vasana. So his world depends on the vasana, what he has inside. And other modes of nature, what happens in him, works in him, everything happens from there. 11th verse. De so srijatapasa yuktom rajasa madanugrahan logan sapalan vishwalma bhurvasva bhurvasva idi tritha. Bhur bhuvasva idi tritha. So srijat tapasa yukto rajasa madanugraha. Lokan sapalan vishwalma. Bhur bhuvasva idi tritha. Krishna says, Vishwalma rajasa yukta madanugraha tapasa bhur bhuvasva idi tritha sapalan lokalan asrijat. So that Vishwalma or Brahma who was born in that Karana Jalam or Vasana Jalam, he, due to the grace of Narayana, he was able to create this Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, what we spoke about before. And Brahma performed his penances, and due to the result of that, the Rajogunam in Brahma expanded.
big way. In a big way, it has expanded in him, the Rajogunam. He also has Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, but Brahma is generally Rajogunam in him. Vishnu has Sattugunam, Shiva has Tamogunam in him. That is why when Rajogunam expands, action develops in us. You can see that in the Brahma also. And with the result was that creation came. Because of the expansion of Rajogunam in Brahma, creation has happened. So, a world, if a baby or a child, grown a little older child, whatever he is going to experience in this world, where is that world? That world is inside him. What he is going to experience later. You can see this in Brahma's case. World has come from Brahma. Don't think of the world creating like the mortar and brick. In a subtle level you have to look at this way. The world has come from Brahma. Creation has come from Brahma. And in order to create that, the Rajogunam in Brahma had to expand. Brahma's Rajogunam had to expand. So, when Rajogunam came, the vasanas inside Brahma came out in the form of the world. That is what is called, call it as creation. But to have that happen, in order that to happen, Rajogunam was necessary. Similarly, the child also, if you look at the child has his vasanas. And then, those vasana, when the child grew up, that vasanarubena, it is present inside, and that vasana which is present inside, which is ready to come out in the form of the world, is called Brahma. When we call Brahma, Brahma as a person, the picture form and its four heads and eight eyes, four noses, and all you see in the picture. But what is actually Brahma means? Brahma means that that vasana that is present inside, that vasana that is present inside that person, a child, which is saying there in the form of vasana. When the Rajogunam builds up in that child, he turns into action. And it is that vasana inside that manifests outside in the form of this world. I don't know whether you get it, what I'm saying. We are looking at the world in the way it's created and saying somebody has created it, because that's the way we know about creation. But Brahma's creation, if you look, Brahma didn't plan that, oh, I'm going to create, say today, 100,000 planets. He didn't make a plan like this. Oh, each of these planets have these living entities. That's not how he planned. Brahma's creation was such that it's coming out from him based on the vasana. You will look in the Bhagavatam, different living entities are coming from Brahma. Somebody was born from the mind. Somebody was born from the ears. Somebody was born from the eyes. Somebody was born from the nose. Different types of creation coming out from Brahma's body. What is Brahma's body? Nothing but this vasanas inside. So, in the samashti level, that is called Brahma. In the veshti level, he is called Brahma, but who is present inside us, vasanas inside. That is why the Adhishtadra Devata, or predominating deity of the heart, is Brahma. For this reason. Like for the eye, predominating deity is the sun. Isn't it? Like there, every senses in the body, there is a predominating deity. So the predominating deity for the mind is Brahma, because of this. Because that's where all the vasanas are stored. All our vasanas are stored. Depending on the vasana, you will see this world. According to the vasana. You will see this as a place of great enjoyment. You will see it's a place of great misery. Or you will see a place of something, whatever, according to the vasana, it will dictate. That is how you are seeing the world. Do you see what I'm saying? That it is not based on bricks and the mortar and the rivers and the mountains and the sky and the buildings that's present here. The world is what you see. That is why it's called in Sanskrit, the word is lokam. Alokya iti lokaha. Lokam is not what is created. Lokam means how you are perceiving it inside, based on the vasana. Alokyam. Alokya iti lokaha. That is how they say about that. So, so that seed, vasana inside, will tell,
can say what he is going to see here, what he is going to know from here, and what he is going to experience here. This vasana will decide inside what he has got. That will decide what he is going to see here, what he is going to experience here, and what he is going to learn from here. What he will pick up from here, in other words. That vasana will decide that, and that is Brahma. Brahma in Veshti level, that is that. In the Samashti level, this whole cosmic manifestation came from him, as they say in the other chapters. So this whole world, what that child is going to experience, in its most subtle form, which is the vasana form, it is present inside him. Just see that. Imagine that. What we are saying, we come here, and then we make our own understanding of the world, and we make our own decisions, and we think, I've understood this, I've understood that. But before we have understood, where did this all come from? It came from the vasanas inside. Everything what that child is going to pick up from here, whether the knowledge or all what he is going to do here in the form of action, or whatever he is going to experience here or see in future, everything in the form of vasana, it's already present inside him, in the sushma level. Extremely subtle level, it is present in him. All it's happening is, in due course of time, when they start coming out, he will start acting accordingly. That's all it is. That is why, from outside, all you can do is to create some good vasanas in him. That's all you can do. You can't change the other forces, what is already there. And parents are always thinking, oh, why my son is not chanting 16 rounds every day? Why he is not a pure devotee? How will he be? He has come with his own baggage and he is not going to change it. So not to look at children and think that, and then we say, oh, they are not listening. We complain, what can you do about it? How will they listen? Because you are only come to their life now. Vasanas were there for many, many lifetimes. It's there inside. What can you do about it? And you are fighting against those vasana. When you say, if the vasana is very rebellious, he will react strongly. He says, Dad, you have only been here for the last few years. I know better. I've gone to university. I've studied so many things. You don't know anything about it, he says to you. So, that'll be the answer. So, you can understand. And that time, that the Brahma inside is speaking. And you just have to accept it. With the four heads, you pay your obeisance and leave. The wisest thing is to do that. Once you start battling with that Brahma inside, you will lose it. Ultimately, a lot of misery will come from that. Best thing is to understand this. That person has its vasanas inside. There's no point in trying to battle against that. That's already decided. He has come, his vasanas have come with him. So, that is why Krishna is saying here also, these verses implicate all these things. It won't explicitly spoken like that. But all this is there. Those who have studied them well, they have spoken about it. That this is what it is referring to. Because otherwise it won't make any sense simply to say that there is an ocean there and there is a lotus flower there. There is Brahma there with four heads. And we have to sit and start thinking, what does it all mean? It won't make any difference. But it has to come in relationship with us in this world now. Then it will make sense. Only when it is brought to us in our Veshti level, Samashti level, what goes on is not important. What happens in Veshti level, that is what affects us. And that will make sense then. That will make sense there. So Krishna is saying here that these Brahma, so everything is in his subtle body, in the baby's subtle body. And later on, what did Brahma do? Brahma performed austerities, isn't it? Brahma performed austerities. And that similar austerities is what the baby is performing inside the womb during that 10 months while he is within the womb. That is why the baby's state inside the womb is like a yogi, they say. In the Bhagavatam also mentions like that, isn't it? And it is because of that austerities of the baby inside, because you can see while the baby is in the womb of the mother, everything is coming through the mother. Directly it is not offered, isn't it? Mother supplies everything for the external growth, and the vasanas are inside the baby, what has to come out later. And that development of the vasanas with the assistance from the mother completes that cycle, and in the total form it develops and comes out. That's that the word that Krishna uses there, swaridhi tritha. See that word? Swaridhi tritha. In the translation you won't read this, or in the purport you won't find this. Swaridhi tritha means the bhulogam, bhuvarlogam, swarlogam, the three planetary systems has come like that, and or all the world was created in that way. Swarlogam was created like that, bhulogam was created, or bhuvarlogam was created, depending on that. Bhulogam, bhuvarlogam, swarlogam. So from Lord Brahma's that is in the samashti, body, mind, intelligence, Lord Brahma has in the samashti level. Lord Brahma has his body, his mind, and his intelligence. And in the veshti form, the jiva has his mind, his intelligence, and his body. We have in the veshti level our body, our mind, our intelligence. And Lord Brahma, in the samashti level, he had his body, his mind, and his intelligence as well. His intelligence as well. So, and similarly, these three modes, what is bhulokam, bhurlokam, swarlokam, these three things, they also exist in us in a subtle level. How? Sthulam, sushmam, karanam. Three words. In sthulam world, the world is, sthula means gross, subtle, and causal. Gross means in the gross existence. And you can see, when we go to the dream state, that means waking state, dream state, deep sleep, is sthulam, sushmam, karanam. So the three worlds we are talking about, bhulogam, bhurlogam, surlogam, which Brahma has created, is these three worlds. Which one? Sthulam, sushmam, karanam, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti. In jagrat, it is sthulam, where you are conscious of the gross body and all your activities in the gross world. That is all sthulam. That is bhulokam. Bhurlokam is when you leave the body and you can see all the living entities in the bhurlokam is in the subtle platform. When we say devils, ghosts, spirits, those things which doesn't have a gross body, but they are there. That is what is why in the dream state we don't have any gross activity. Everything in the platform of the mind. And that is that bhurlokam. And swarlokam is what you are experiencing in the karana shariram. Happiness. Extreme happiness. But unfortunately, in the veshti there is tamogunam there. But if you take out the tamogunam in the veshti level, in the deep sleep state, what's there present? Bliss. Isn't it? Pure bliss. That's what's present in the... So, can you see the relationship? Sthulam sushmam karanam, jagrat sapnam sushupti, and bhulogam, bhurlogam, surlogam. So where is all the world, three worlds? Within us, in the veshti level, in the samashti level, in Brahma. Brahma exists there in that samashti level. So, jiva, living entity, creates these three worlds. Shariram, mind, body, mind, and the intelligence. That is, you'll see in the 12th verse. Krishna mentions that. Devanamogamasil swarbhudanam chabhuvalpagam martyadinam chabhurlokam siddhanam tatayal param. Devanamogamasil swarbhudanam chabhuvalpagam martyadinam chabhurlokam siddhanam tatayal param. So, Swadevanam Ogamasi, Bhudanam Japadamasi. Swargam is the habitat or the place where the demigods live. Andariksham or the atmosphere is where the Bhutas live. And Bhurloga Martyadinam Tadayat Param Siddhanam Japadam Bhavadi. Bhurlokam and is human species and above this three Bhurlokam, Bhurlokam, Sulokam, there is the Maharlokam and other places which are who have reaching perfection, Siddham, Siddhas. Siddhas, they live there. Siddha means they have got Siddhis, who got the Aishwarya Siddhis and all that. That means they come out of these three planets, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Sulokam. So Surlokam is there, and Buddha's Bhurlokam, and ours is Bhulokam. And in the Vashti, you can see here that that same thing. For the sake of vyavaharam, transactions in this world, and for the sake of karmam, we have got a gross body. And for thoughts to handle that, we have got the basis is the mind. The mind is the basis. And similarly, for all our discriminative power or intellectual, we have got the basis as intelligence as the basis. And all these three things will expand. And that is why the world comes. How the world comes. That means when our body, through its activities, mind through its thought waves, intelligence through its analytical power or whatever we call it, that power, intellectual power, when all the three are in action and they start expanding, the result is that the world comes out. World exists then. Krishna explains in the next verse, Atho asuranam naganam bhumer eko asrijat prabhu trilokyam gadaya sarva karmanam trigunalpanam. Atho asuranam naganam bhumer eko asrijat prabhu trilokyam gadaya sarva karmanam trigunalpanam. In a similar way, Lord Brahma, he created lower planetary systems also, where the demons live and big serpents and so many other who are in the tamogunam, where tamogunam is stronger. Here rajogunam is stronger, higher planets satugunam is stronger. Satugunam is stronger. So that is in the samashti. In the Vashti, if you look at us, if we become very demoniac vasana, then we are living in the same world as them, in the lower species, is it not? Tamogunam, if it influences. If Rajogunam influences, we become like the asuric nature, come from the Rajogunam. And if Sattugunam builds up inside us, we become like the Devadas. We become like Devadas. So, when Krishna said Brahmandam, he talked about these three worlds, isn't it? Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam. If you ask what is above and below them, there is the lower planetary systems. This is one planetary system. Which one? Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, which Brahma has created. Above that, there is Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tavolokam, Satyalokam, the higher planetary system. And similarly, below us, there is Atholokam. It is described in the fifth canto. You can read that. And all that lower planets is Tamogunam. Completely Tamogunam. And if you read the description in the fifth canto, you can see what kind of life that is. Tamogunam. Where mainly snake's body, serpent's body, asuric body, rakshasa body, or lower bodies, everything is present there. So, and they exist there in that tamogunam all the time. Sleeping or having an existence like that, in that way, most of the time. Knowledge cannot go there, enter there. No awareness in anything. Only busy in the existence. No awareness. We have got better awareness, isn't it? That is why we are able to see things, experience higher things. They cannot experience anything higher. Those bodies are like that, what is existing there. So after all that,
we have come through that and come to this human form. And all that what exists in the higher planets, that means above Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapologam, Satyalogam, that is all planets of knowledge, full of knowledge there, full awareness. We have a certain awareness by we can acquire knowledge with our effort to some degree, even though Rajogunam is present in us. To some degree we can acquire some knowledge in this present state. In the lower planetary systems, no knowledge is possible. No knowledge is possible. That is such a state. You cannot have it. Just existing in the body, whatever that is there. Asuralogam or whatever, asuras or rakshasa or serpents or any kind of living. There's all kinds of description there in the fifth canto. You can read in the atholokam. Atholokam means lower planetary systems. That's what that exists. So, higher planets, above the Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, which is Janalogam, Maharlogam, Tavalogam, Satyalogam, they are all occupied by personalities who are jnanis. Many of them very high degree of realizations and rishis, maharshis, they live there. And at the same time, Adholokam is all living entities full of tamomayam, tamogunam, full of tamogunam. And there is life there, but they cannot experience anything in relationship with Atma. No experience of Atma is possible in the lower planetary systems. Whereas in the higher planetary system, there is a very high experience of the Atma. Very little experience of the matter. In the lower species, very high, complete experience of the matter. No experience of the awareness. We are somewhere in between. We have sometimes we have experience of the self, sometimes the experience of the matter, both mixed up. That is our present state. Whereas in the higher planets, they have very high consciousness, awareness, in other words, that they are all soul, spirit, not body, not matter, not body. So therefore, maharshis, jnanis, rishis, in other words, they all live in that higher planetary systems. So, when you look at the lower planetary systems, it is the very embodiment of tamogunam in the lower planetary systems. And if you look at the higher planetary systems, it's a very embodiment of sattugunam. In the lower planetary system, it's a very embodiment of tamogunam. That means it is such an extent tamogunam is present there, deep down there. And if you go into the higher planets, the sattugunam is so prominent there, in those higher planets. Here you can see the mixture of both. That is why you will see there, here there is some sattugunam. There is a lot of rajogunam. Rajogunam is the predominant thing here, mixed up with some sattugunam and lot of tamogunam. Here it can change a lot. In those two, there is no change allowed. Sattugunam means there is always in the sattugunam stage, very high degree of sattugunam. Tamogunam also, very high degree of tamogunam. Here, because presence of rajogunam is present, sometimes there is some sattugunam, sometimes there is a lot of rajogunam, sometimes it's infected with sattugunam, sometimes it's infected with tamogunam. So there's a mixture of rajogunam or tamogunam, or a mixture of rajogunam or sattugunam is present in this bhulogam, bhurlogam, surlogam. You will experience that. So so it is because of that we take birth here in the human body, and then due to our activities, that's what makes that decision. That means if the karmam is good, then in that case it will help. If the karmam purifies us, then it will develop growth of knowledge inside. Jnanam will grow inside. And that will develop bhakti inside. When there is jnanam, then there is bhakti. And when there is vairagyam inside, you will be able to move up from here. That means first thing karma, begins with karma. Karma gets purified, it will help to develop knowledge and bhakti, jnanam and bhakti. When jnanam and bhakti comes, vairagyam will come. So karma, bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, when all these things grows in a person, he will slowly start moving up
towards Swargat Bhuvalogam and eventually to Swarlogam. That means he'll become more subtle and he'll have better, deeper understanding and he'll start growing up. And that is Krishna is saying here, Devana Mogam Asit Swar, Bhuma Bhutanam Ja Bhuvapadam, Martya Dinam Ja Bhur Logam, Siddhanam Tradayat Param. Siddhanam Tradayat Param. And beyond these three words, worlds, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, Krishna is saying there that those who have attained some perfection in that, in which what? In bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, if they have become some perfect there, then they will go to the higher planets. And for them, Siddhalokam, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. So, Urdhvalokam, Urdhvalokam. Look at Urdhvaloka means those logams above these three planetary systems. And then in the next verse, Krishna is taking us into the lower planetary system, saying to us, Atho Asuranam Naganam Bhumer Ego Asrajat Prabhu Trilokyam Gadaya Sarva Karmanam Trigunalmanam. Karmanam Trigunalmanam. Then Krishna says, basically, Uddhava, all these three worlds is completely, all the activities there is completely controlled by Satugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Practically everything is controlled by these three gunams present there. Like the lower planetary systems, all the living entities there, they don't have any emotions, excitements, nothing like that. In a practically dead state, Tamogunam is like that, isn't it? Remember Tamogunam's nature? Laziness, dull, always dull, that sort of existence, like the snakes and all other living entities mentioned there. Because there is only Tamogunam present there. So, in other words, all the time, they have no identity with the self. They don't know even who they are. Just existing in that way. That means forgetting about themselves, they are living like that. And whereas the other three worlds, once you come up, that Maharlokam, Janalokam and all that, for them they are always experiencing the bliss of Atma. Exactly opposite to the lower planets. In the lower planets, no experience of the self. That means you know what it will be like then. More like us now. Only knows the body, nothing else. Only body is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. But there, because we have Rajogunam, what happens is, we are willing to do some work. And then, we try to make this body a little bit look more beautiful. All these things we do. But there, no such thing. They are not willing to work either. The ones in the lower planets. They, all they do is, they will just lie down and rest. Tamogunam. Deep Tamogunam there. And therefore, and they also don't know what are they, what is their existence, no awareness at all. See, based on the awareness only, you know who you are, is it not? Just like in the lower species, they don't know anything. As you grow up, comes to the platform of the animals in this world, they have a little bit more awareness. That's why when you take a stick, the dog runs. Little bit more awareness. Whereas those animals or those species who are in the lowest planets, even if you take the stick, they won't react. They won't react to it. To such a degree, tamogunam in them. All they are simply sleeping and eating or whatever, eating, sleeping basically, goes on continuously there. That's their existence. Completely in the bodily level. But when you come up to the higher level, and similarly, when you go to the higher planets, they are in so much conscious of their spiritual nature. Bodily identification is very, very limited for them. They don't have much of a contact with the matter. That is due to the influence of the Sattvagunam. So Sattvagunam brings awareness of the spiritual existence. Tamogunam brings awareness of the material existence. In between, Rajogunam is like this, neither here nor there, floating in between. That's like we are. So, Sattvagunam, Swarlokam, Sattvam Rajasya. So, here also if you look at these three planets, Swarlokam, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Swarlokam, in there, in Swarlokam, there is more Sattvagunam.
in Sattvam and Rajogunam combined is in the Bhuvarlogam. And when it comes to earthly planet, which is Bhulogam, there is Rajogunam. Here Rajogunam, Bhuvarlogam is Sattvam and Rajas combined, and Swarlogam is Sattvagunam. So, one thing Krishna is saying here, whatever it may be, whether Bhulogam, Bhuvarlogam or Swarlogam, all of them are under the three modes of material nature. And they dictate everything in these three places. So, Bhulogam, Bhuvarlogam, Swarlogam. So, in any of these, if you take birth, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Suppose you have gone and taken birth in Bhuvarlogam, or you have gone and taken birth in the Swarlogam. Krishna is saying, you have not come out still. You are still under the jurisdiction of karma. That means, it is karma that decides where you will go. Suppose the karma is very good, possibly you may get promoted to Bhuvarlogam or to the Swarlogam even. That means, your spiritual opportunity is widened in that case. Suppose you get to Swarlogam, that means there is more goodness in you. Naturally, there will be desire for advancing on the spiritual path. Whereas if you come to earthly planet, again the same struggle for material existence, working hard, earning money, all these issues, which does not exist to that extent in the Swarlogam. So what Krishna is saying here, that karma, whatever that has been done, what is present inside, in the form of prarabdham, that prarabdham karma, in order to experience that, you will have to go to one of these three. You will have to go to one of these three, either Bhuvalogam or Bhuvarlogam or Swarlogam. If you have pious credit into your account, you will get the opportunity to go and spend some time in Swarlogam. If not, in the middle level, in the Bhuvarlogam, or back again here, into the Bhuvalogam. So, and in the next verse, Krishna is saying, purpose of all these things is spoken. He is saying here, yogasya tapasas chaiva nyasasya gadayo amalaha maharjanas tapasatyam bhakti yogasya malgadim. Why one should come to spiritual life? That's the important principle. Krishna is saying here, yogasya tapasas chaiva nyasasya gadayo amalaha maharjanas tapasatyam bhakti yogasya malgadi. Any yoga system, if you practice, what will happen to them? That's what Krishna is saying here. Now, when you read that, you will think, let's understand that verse. Suppose you have performed yogam, say Ashtanga yogam or Jnana yogam, and you have gone through that, and you have come to a very high degree, high level of realization, then you will go to Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapolokam or Satyalogam. That is the four worlds we have spoken beyond the Bhulogam, Bhuvarlogam, Swarlogam. Bhulogam, Bhuvarlogam, Swarlogam is what Brahma has created, and above that they exist. That means you have executed a particular yoga process, you got purified yourself, and through knowledge you have gone very high in spiritual life. And for them, these places are allotted to live, to take birth there and to live there. Which one? Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam and Satyalokam. You get the chance to go there. Suppose Krishna says, you have taken Bhakti Yogam seriously, and through that Bhakti Yogam, you have surrendered to Krishna 100%, and you served Krishna and pleased Krishna to that degree, and you reach that Parabhakti stage. You remember what that parabhakti means? Which is that Brahma Bhuda Prasanna Alpa Na Shochati Na Kamkshati Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Labhade Param. You have come to that parabhakti stage. Krishna says, they can come back to me directly. They are not going to any of this Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. They come back to me. Come to Vaikuntham or Golokam. In that state, they will get there. So, that means they are not ordinary people. They are not the ordinary devotees we are talking about. These are people who have come through Aham Brahmasmi stage and then gone beyond than that to the bhakti level, which is called Parabhakti.
Ananya Bhakti and all what he is addressed to, which is only spoken about the greatest of the devotees, only in reference to them. That's what it is spoken. When you come to the Parabhakti state, then Krishna says here, those who are completely absorbed in Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and the whole lifetime they have spent for in that purpose, and they existed in this world simply to purify this place. To such a degree they have been purified. And those personalities, Krishna says, they can come back to me. That is what he says here. Bhakti yogasya malgadi. Bhakti yogasya malgadi. So, bhakti yogams, bhaktis, Krishna never gets satisfied talking about the glories of bhakti. That does not mean that he is saying that jnana yogam is second class. That is not what it means. It's only in terms of destination Krishna is saying. Bhakti yogasya malgadi means he will also reach a very high state, provided because he has pleased me with his bhakti. This is the bhakti Krishna talks in the Bhagavadam. Which one? Nirabeksham, munim, shandam. Those kind of devotees. Remember that? Nirabeksham, munim, shandam, nirvairam, samadarshinam, anubrajamyaham nityam, puyeye tyankrirenubhi. That puyeye tyankrirenubhi. Krishna says, I follow them. That kind of devotees. Nirabeksham, they have no desire inside. They won't ask anything from Krishna. Nirvairam, they have no enmity towards anyone in this world. Samadarshinam, always equal vision, fully conscious of Krishna's presence in everybody. Such people, Nirvairam, Samadarshinam, Anubrajam, Aham Nityam, I follow them, Krishna says. Why? I want to take their dust and put it on my head for my purification. That is how much Krishna value them. But remember, they are that kind of devotees that reach that state, even beyond the state what is spoken in the three kinds of devotees. Remember in the Bhagavadam that sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagaval bhavam almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama, first class devotee. The three kinds of, even higher than that is those great souls they are. So then they come back to me direct, Krishna says. Malbhakti, bhakti yogasya malgadi. And then Krishna says, in all these things, what Krishna has spoken, Krishna says, unless you come back to me, everything else is very flickering. It's not permanent. Everything is temporary. Maya kala alpana dhatram, 15th verse. Maya kala alpana dhatra karma yuktam idam jagal guna pravaham edasmin umajjadi. Unmajjadi nimajjadi guna pravaham edasmin unmajjadi nimajjadi maya kalalpana dhatra karma yuktamidam jagal guna pravaham edasmin unmajjadi nimajjadi. So here that behind these things Krishna says kalam or time is operating. Kalam maya kalalpana. Kalam is me. Krishna is Kalam, isn't it? When Parikshit asked a question also, Shuka Brahmarshi told him, isn't it? Remember? What is that? Andarbahi Purusha Kala Rupai Viryani Tasya Gila Deva Bhajam Andarbahi Purusha Kala Rupai Maya Manushyasya Vadasya Vidvan. So, inside as immortality, outside as death. Viryani tasyagila deha vajam, andarbahi purusha kala rupai. So, outside as in the form of time, Krishna is present as time, kala rupam. Kala rupam is present there. So, Krishna says here that all these three worlds, which one? Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, they are under the three modes of nature all the time. And they are also under the control of karma. They are under the control of modes of nature. They are also under the control of karma. And because these modes of nature and karma is present there, coming into these three worlds, up and down in these three worlds, is called
jiva's samsara gati. Samsara gati means this journey, samsara, material existence. You know what material existence means, isn't it? Samsara dhava nanalidha loka. Material existence means jiva traveling between these three planets under the influence of the three modes of material nature and also under the influence of karma. So karma and modes of nature are the two factors that controls our life at the present. And because of those two things, we are floating between these three planets. Bhulokam, Borlokam, Sorlokam. So, you can see in this Bhulokam itself, how many living entities are here right now, in this earthly planet, Bhulokam itself. Birds, bees, animals, plants, trees, creepers, worms, all sorts of things. And then, 8.4 million, what we talk about, isn't it? Aquatics, then those who live in the sky, a variety, a great variation. Similarly, in Bhurlokam and Sorlokam also, there are living entities like that, with variation. So, in these three worlds, they keep coming and going, and sometimes they go down, sometimes they go up. And also, they take birth in this world itself, and again take birth again and again in this very world itself. Suppose we got this body now, we lose this body, we'll get another body in this world. Another human body, maybe in another place, with another family, another parents, and then we'll die there, and we'll get another body here. All depends on this karma and the modes of nature what we have. So, one thing is that all these three worlds is in the control of karma. In the control of karma. So, then this is what is called jiva's samsara gati. If you come out of these three worlds, which one? Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Sorlokam, that is called freedom from the material existence. Freedom from material existence. Once you go to Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tavalokam and all that, there is no chance of coming back here. There is no chance of coming back here. But otherwise, and bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, these are the three things necessary to come out of this material existence. The remedy for that. And once you leave this, go to the Maharlokam and all, and then you go to the higher planets. Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tavalokam, Satyalokam. So if you go through those four, you will escape from this whole field completely. But you are on your way then. Once you come to Maharlokam, then you are on your way. There is no question of coming back here. You'll go up further. So that is why when you read Puranas, you will find sometimes spoken that, like you remember, you can go to the up to Swarlokam. That is possible because these three planets are a cluster. Which one? Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Sorlokam. Because they are all under karma, law of karma, and three modes of material nature. That is why when you read, you can see there that Arjuna went to fight in the heavenly planets. He went to Sorlokam actually. Mujugunda went there to help Indra, is it not? To fight in the war, battlefield. Dasharatha went there. You will find in Ramayana all these things. He went there to fight. Similarly, Nahusha went there and he came back as a python here. Back. That's what he was sent there, but he offended the rishis there and they sent him back. They sent him back from there. So when he goes up, once you come to Maharlokam, then it's only from there, it's only a question of time. You become more and more mature spiritually. You become more mature. And Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam, through that, once you're completely matured spiritually, then automatically go back to Krishna, to the spiritual world, whichever way that is directed at that time. This is the samsara gati. Krishna calls it as samsara gati. And here, whatever that has been spoken, samsara gati means the traveling of the jiva, his route. Here, Krishna has combined Vedantam and Sankhyam. This is not pure Sankhyam. What Krishna has spoken here is not pure Sankhyam. It is a combination of both Vedantam and Sankhyam.
In Sankhyam, there is pure Sankhyam, there is difference. That pure Sankhyam is atheistic, Nirishwara Sankhyam. That is not accepted in the Bhagavadam. Seshwara Sankhyam is accepted in the Bhagavadam. So what you read here is a mixture of Vedantam and Sankhyam, and what is discussed in the third canto of Bhagavadam is also Sankhyam, but is not Nirishwara Sankhyam, it is called Ishwara Sankhyam. Prabhupada calls it as there is atheistic Kapila, and Kapila Maharshi who is theistic. So it's a theistic Kapila who is the Seshwara Sankhyam, which is in agreement with the Vedantam. That is accepted here. So, then, the next words. Anurbraha, yeah. So here, in the next verse, when we talked about this srishti, creation, Krishna has spoken, saying here, that actually only the cause is important, effect is not important. Therefore, because without the cause, there is no effect. In the effect, cause is present. In the cause, effect is not present. That's an important principle in Vedanta. Cause is important, effect is not important. We look at the effect and trying to find out the cause through the effect. That won't work. That's what Krishna is saying. So, cause is important, and therefore, Krishna is saying here, this cause is pervading in all the effect as well. Whatever that is the cause, that cause is present in all the effect as well. And if you understand that, Krishna says, you will know cause is important, effect is not important. Look at the verse, Anulbrihat krishastuvilo yoyo bhava prasidhyani sarvo ubhayasam yukta prakritya purushayena cha. Anurbrihat krishastuvilo yoyo bhava prasidhyani sarvopi ubhayasam yukta prakritya purushayena cha. Whether it is small or big, thin or fat, whatever objects are present in this world, all of them are permeated with Prakriti and Purusha. To make it simple, suppose there is a small mosquito and there is a huge elephant. Both in the mosquito as well as in the elephant, both Prakriti and Purusha is present. That is what Krishna is saying here. Even if he is in the mosquito, there is Prakriti there. And Purusha is also present. Atma is there. And the huge elephant, there is Prakriti there and Purusha is also present there. I think we'll stop it today. There's some Kirtana.